For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reese, sir. For the first time since 2010, two different goalies have authored back-to-back shutouts for the Blue Jackets. Jet Greaves had 21 saves last night as the CBJ blanked the Blackhawks 4-0. It's the seventh straight win for the Blue Jackets, who are 10-1 with Rick Bowness on the bench. Columbus is 2 points out of a playoff spot as they hit the Olympic break. Jackets will return to action in Boston on February 26th. The Milan-Cortina games are underway this morning with mixed doubles in curling. The opening ceremony is going to take place Friday afternoon. In the NBA last night, the Cavs beat the Clippers 124-91. In Los Angeles, James Harden did not play in that game. The deadline in the association's today at 3 o'clock. And in college hoops, Ohio State's at Maryland tonight at 8:30. You can hear that on The Fan with coverage at 7:30. Buckeyes will host number 2 Michigan on Sunday. This update is sponsored by Uber Eats. Uber Eats has a great deal waiting for you at El Vaquero. From now until March 31st, buy one quesadilla deal, get one free on the app. Terms apply.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging. And only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
So in case you missed it from earlier this week, a rhino in Milwaukee, a fish near Buckeye Lake, and a woodchuck in Northeast Ohio all said early spring. It was only one moronic marmot, that joke Punxsutawney Phil, said more winter. Just in case you were like me this morning and you walked out of your house and said, I'm tired of this, Grandpa. Happy Thursday, everybody. Eric Reeser, Ryan Baker, Isaiah rolling along with you until noon today. Bo's still day to day. Feels like he's getting better every day, but he's still kind of dealing with whatever's going around. Good morning, Baker. How are you feeling?
We're doing great. I feel fine. That's good. I'm glad. We had the, what was that, around early December, we had the, where I felt fine, but we lost the voice there for about a week. But other than that, knock on wood, we have been smooth sailing this winter.
So it's cold out. You're probably going to hear maybe in 10 minutes, 10 weather impact forecast that has snow coming up tomorrow. So we'll think spring things. I guess not really, because the first thing we want to do is talk about a team that's red hot. Probably the hottest team in all of sport.
Oh, baby.
Your Columbus Blue Jackets in front of a packed crowd at Nationwide Arena last night. They shut out the Chicago Blackhawks 4-0. Baker, you were in attendance for that. And I remember talking a couple weeks ago how important I thought it was after you make the change and hire Rick Bowness as your head coach and you go on a little bit of a tear. That if you're able to get games before the Olympic break in front of your home crowd, you're going to have such a buzz for this team on the return that's going to make it very, very, I think it's going to pay dividends when you come back. I think it's the 28th of February when they've got a game against the New York Islanders at Nationwide Arena.
So it's the 26th. They 26th, come back, they play Boston
though.
So, and they're also at New York.
They're at
their
New
next,
York for that
their
game.
Next home game is March 3rd.
So when you do come back for that game, you're going to be doing so in front of a raucous crowd that's got hope for a playoff push. What you see last night at Nationwide kind of factor in with that?
So it was a sellout crowd last night. They announced 18,575. Now you get that with the Blackhawks, right?
Sure.
There's a lot of Blackhawks fans that are always in attendance, which, by the way, I think the Blackhawk fans are my least favorite fans in the NHL, because I just remember there was a time where Chicago could barely get 8,000 people in their own arena. And then all of a sudden they got Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and they win some cups, and then all of a sudden Nationwide Arena is half full with them when they were non-existent before. So there were a lot of Blackhawks fans in attendance last night, but I do think you are getting the bonus bump that you're seeing on the ice, which I don't know if we can call it a bump anymore. You're 11 games into this.
Yeah, it's a bounce.
It's not a couple games here. But you're getting that in the stands as well. And the attendance has been pretty good all year for the Columbus Blue Jackets. But I think there were so many factors last night. You're playing well. It's the Blackhawks. And you don't have a home game for a month.
Right.
So it was packed last night. It was loud. It was a fun environment in Nationwide.
So Jackets continue their streak of most points in the league or most goals in the league by defenseman Zach Werenski, Ivan Provorov. Scored in last night's game, 10-1 with Rick Bonus, 7-game win streak. In that span, you're 44-24, outscoring your opponents. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, only one game's gone longer than three periods.
Yeah, and that's maybe the most important thing in this 7-game winning streak for the Columbus Blue Jackets. You've won them all in regulation, and that means two things. One, it means you're not giving anybody else any points. But the other thing is the very first tiebreaker, and their chances are, as bunched up as these standings are, there will be tiebreakers. The very first in that is regulation wins. And the Columbus Blue Jackets are behind everyone right now, but they're not as far behind as they were because they've got 7 wins here in a row in regulation. So the Jackets have 20 wins right now in regulation. The New York Islanders, who you are now 2 points behind, have 21. The Detroit Red Wings, if it comes to that, they're third in the Atlantic right now, they have 23. The Montreal Canadiens have 21. The Toronto Maple Leafs, who are right behind you, only have 19. So those regulation wins do matter because, one, that's the tiebreaker. Two, you're not giving anybody else points.
We talked about the Islanders, who you see on the 28th. Jackets are only 2 points behind them for that third playoff spot in the Metropolitan Division. So with that, not taking games longer than three periods, you're able to collect points, not give other teams points. It's something that it's one of many things you want to continue as you roll into this Olympic break. And then as you come out again on the 26th against the Boston Bruins, we'll have Aaron Portsline on at 9:30 to talk about everything that's gone on with the Blue Jackets and everything that we look forward to coming out of this Olympic break with the trade deadline looming on March 6th.
And Reese, you were right. I was mistaken. That game against the Islanders is a home game. So the 28th of February, that is your next home game.
And to the point that, you know, we've made for the last couple of weeks is where you're going to really be welcoming this team back, you know, in a way that necessarily a month ago I didn't think you'd have. I didn't think any of us sort of thought this was going to be where the Blue Jackets were sitting going into the 3 weeks off in the Olympics. You're going to have Zach Werenski, who continues to play at a better pace than he did last season. I think show out incredibly for Team USA once the Olympics start for men's hockey next week. And that only adds to the momentum they're able to build from this.
Very cool. Last night after the game, they had Elvis and Zach do
that. Was really cool,
like
to
a
see.
Victory lap, you know, had to send them off to the Olympics in Italy. By the way, Zach, I think he might be flying right now. They said within 12 hours he was going to be on a plane heading to Italy because he watched the Netflix documentary on the Miracle on Ice that recently came out. And everything that they did. And he said, I'm not missing the opening ceremonies.
Well, it's tomorrow.
So Zach
at 2 o'clock.
Zach is taken off to get to Italy so he can be a part of them. I thought it was interesting last night, Reese, in Rick Bonus's post-game press conference. And this just kind of tells you how crazy the standings are, one, and also just how much the Blue Jackets dug a hole here. But the very first thing, he didn't want to talk about the way the team has played or any of that. The only thing he said, and this is crazy, is We've earned 22 out of 24 points in our last 11 games. We're still not in a playoff spot. So that's how crazy the people around you have been playing well and how bunched up this Eastern Conference is. Now, the Blue Jackets are ninth in the East now. They were last place in the East when this all started. But 22 out of 24 possible points. And you're still 2 points out of a playoff spot right now.
We got a big Thursday program planned. So I talked about Porty coming up at 9:30 because the Blue Jackets are really what's up in regards to any other team in the Central Ohio, maybe even in the Ohio area. But Paul Feinbaum will come on at 10:30. I think people are getting tired of college football, Baker. at a quicker rate than even we had thought. At 11:30, we'll go out to San Francisco. John Breach, a friend of the program, is going to be giving us, I think, an early preview of what to expect from the Patriots and from the Seahawks. That game Sunday at 7:30. I think Seattle's still a 4.5-point favorite there. But I also saw this from yesterday. It was Adam Schefter breaking some hockey news. Now, the NBA's got their trade deadline today at 3 o'clock. You just saw Kristaps Porzingis get traded to the Golden State Warriors. And, I mean, that's fine. I think 5 years ago, that might have been a huge deal. But we'll have plenty of NBA trade deadline stuff as it just trickles in throughout the program. But Artemi Panarin gets sent to the Los Angeles Kings in exchange for a prospect, a conditional third-round pick, and another conditional fourth-round pick in 2028. But the Kings and Panarin, and this was what Schefter broke, agreed to a two-year extension worth $11 million through 2027-2028. Baker, does this finally the time? Because it felt like when he went to New York, Panarin was going to be consistently competing for Stanley Cups, and it never really materialized consistently. Can he do that with the Kings?
I don't think so. Man. And I know what the Kings are doing here. Yeah. The Kings are 3 points out of a playoff spot right now. They are trying to send Anze Kopitar and Drew Doughty out in style here because Doughty's ending towards the year, end of his career. Kopitar, this is his last year. What a situation here with Panarin where he just kind of dictated where he was going. There was rumors that maybe he wanted to go to Florida. There was no way Florida could pull it off. Tampa was trying to make it happen. But it turned out the only place that could facilitate this trade and the extension that Panarin wanted to go was the Kings. So the Rangers don't get much in return for him. And Panarin, good on him. Yeah. He signs a team-friendly deal here, 2 years, $11 million. That's a pretty good deal for a player of his caliber. He probably could get more money. He could have got more money from Columbus, if you remember, when he went to New York. But he wanted to be in New York. Panarin's a guy that it just seems to be wants to be in a big city. I don't think this makes the Kings a Stanley Cup contender, though. Will it get him into the playoffs? Probably. But I don't know if it makes him a contender.
So he's still got, I think rosters in the NHL have been frozen, I think through February 22nd, I want to say. So the deadline there, March 6th. We talked all the time about college football, and I do think it's really starting to wear people out. You'll hear from a coach who's just tired of all of this. Coming up next, it's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
I wish I'd gotten...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And Zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for us today and chilly. Temperatures will be getting into the low 20s and our feels like could be into the negatives. As we go into tonight, expect skies to be mostly cloudy with temperatures in the teens. Friday, snow develops as we go into the morning, becoming a little bit heavier as we go toward the lunch hour. We could see 1 to 2 inches possible. Daytime highs will be in the mid to upper 30s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
So you probably heard that in the weather report. Snow in the forecast. Just properly prepare yourselves. Especially those who have yet to fully shovel your sidewalks and clear the snow from last storm. Off your car. Please make time to do that.
There were people leaving the parking garage last night in Nationwide.
Yep.
With still 6 inches of snow on their car. And by now,
let's move that.
That snow is not fluffy. It's hard. It's kind of crunchy. Like, not only will that blow off and impair my vision, it could also do damage. to the car, possibly, or, you know, gosh forbid, it was a little more icy and crack a windshield. Like, you have no excuse.
Yeah, a big enough chunk of ice, you're calling SafeLight.
I saw on Facebook the other day a girl, it had come through the front of her windshield and broke her nose.
I swear by it
that it had come through, that ice was sitting on top of a truck, and it had solidified so hard that it came through the windshield.
Jail for those people.
Yes. Yes.
Automatic revocation of your license, impounding of your car, and then prison.
Isaiah, I promise if that happened to me, I'm fighting someone.
100%.
I'm fighting them.
Once I start to be able to see again, once I get the tears out of my eyes after my nose is broken, I'm looking for who did that.
Fighting.
It does feel like Trinidad Chambliss, Ole Miss's quarterback, is going to be doing a legal fight.
Jeez.
You're going to add him to the list of quarterbacks that are taking the NCAA to court. And then NCAA rejected his appeal of an eligibility waiver denial, and his lawsuit against the NCAA for a sixth year of eligibility is set for a hearing next week. So there's three quarterbacks in the SEC, Diego Pavia, Joey Aguilar, and now Trinidad Chambliss, are going to be taking the NCAA to court over eligibility issues. And the more I talk about this, I feel like it's like the transfer portal, Baker, where I feel that our listeners are just tired of hearing about it. Now, fortunately, it's not a world that Ohio State's got to live in, because I think they've made proper quarterback portal persons, and then they've done a great job recruiting. I think they've been able to live in that kind of world. Ole Miss doesn't. Ole Miss hasn't. Tennessee doesn't. Tennessee hasn't. A school like Vanderbilt's just never going to be able to recruit a quarterback to develop, especially in this portal era, that he stays around long enough. It's going to be the guy from JUCO or the guy from one school or for another school that has just, it's not worked out at one place. It's not worked out at a second place, but he's played enough. He could make it work at Vanderbilt.
I mean, we say that, but what would Ohio State have done if Will Howard wanted to come back for another year?
Had a conversation with him about this Julian Sands team.
Would they have, though?
I think
this is a guy that just won a national championship for you.
But I think the writing was so much on the wall when they had Will Howard in the room, along with a bunch of other guys. And once Julian Sane became available, they brought Julian Sane in. It was a five-person quarterback room.
I think you act like it's easier than it was going to be, quite frankly. If Will Howard wanted to stay and wanted to fight this, I think Ohio State would have been for it, and they would have welcomed him back. Now, you would have probably lost a Julian Sane, right?
Maybe.
He probably would have hit the transfer portal if that was the case. But I just think this is so interesting because as long as I've known in my life, you go to college to move on to your next job, right? You go to college to go get into the real world and have a big boy job. But now the athletes are going to be making so much, and I would guess Trinidad Chambliss is going to end up on an NFL roster when it's all said and done, but I don't know if he's going to be a starter in the league, so why not stay here and play? I would guess Joey Aguilar, his career's over when he's done with Tennessee, right? Like, I don't see him making it on an NFL roster. Now, could he come and be the quarterback of the Columbus Aviators? Maybe. So he's trying to get as much out of his football career as he can. So there's part of me that understands that. I just couldn't imagine these guys wanting to stay in school for this long.
6-7 years in college. Yeah. Wouldn't be something I'd be interested in. But if somebody was paying me $4 or $5 million, I think then, yeah, you're having a different conversation. But I do think it's a different world than what Ohio State's got to live in, because of Ohio State and what they've been able to do in getting portal persons and also recruiting at the high school level. The man who's really responsible for all of this is Mark Pantone. The ambassador of cool was on Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast. Now, Woj used to be the NBA newsbreaker for ESPN. He's now the GM of the St. Bonaventure men's basketball team, and he has a podcast. And so you'll hear from the ambassador of cool coming up at 11 o'clock and just his comments on how the sausage is made.
Some good stuff.
For a roster, some really good stuff.
From Pantone as well in that interview with Woj.
This is Bobby Houck. I'm not sure if I say that name, anybody really knows who he is. But Montana, the Grizzlies.
The enemy. It's Bo's enemy.
The fighting Montana State Bobcats, the arch rival. It's Cat Grizz. It's Brawl of the Wild. But for the FCS, Bobby Houck is one of the most known coaches there. Better part of the last 23 years and two stints, he was the head coach of the Grizzlies. They won 151 games, most in the school history, 8 Big Sky titles. He's the winningest coach in conference history. And yesterday he said, no thanks. Tired of this, Grandpa. He actually told Montana's athletic director on Tuesday night that he was thinking about retiring and that he had made his decision. And they had a press conference yesterday morning during this show. And here was probably the most eye-opening comment from that press conference. Well, clicking the button isn't going.
It's but not it was working.
In the same vein, I'm tired of this. Quote, I don't know that I ever want to be a head coach again. He had said that he wasn't enjoying coming into work, that the daily grind presented by modern college football of having transfer portal, of having NIL, of doing everything that a head coach is supposed to do nowadays just wasn't of interest to him. And then so, like I had just said, he was asked about coaching in the future. He's like, I do know I don't want to be a head coach again. And I think it goes to conversations, Baker, that we've had on this show of how what college football is outside of the games being played is something that I feel would wear on a human being so much more so now than ever before. And you said it yesterday, the days of a 20-year head coaching tenure, gone. Gone at every single level, I believe.
Yeah, and I think it's, and we talked about Ryan Day, and I hope Ryan Day is here for the next 10 or 15 years, but it's just very weird that so many people are like, oh, and I get it, because Ohio State, for a lot of people, was a dream job, and why would you want to go anywhere else? But just there's so much with coaching college football nowadays. And by the way, Bobby Houck, 61 years old, he looks young. He looks like he's in his 40s.
Yeah.
But I don't know how long he would have stayed that way if he continued to coach college football. He said he just doesn't enjoy it anymore. He wants to enjoy his job, and there were a lot of parts of coaching Division I college football that aren't enjoyable anymore. And I understand that if I'm him.
And you got to think, a lot of the things that he's used to, I mean, he's been coaching for such a long time, the issues he is having isn't with all the on-field stuff. It's everything that's off the field that they have to deal with now that's starting to drive some of these older coaches away. If he could just come in and just coach, even as just like in the coordinator position, you think about some of the coordinators we brought on, Arthur Smith, who isn't a part of the recruiting. And why do you think he's so excited about that? Because it's less off the field stuff. It makes it easier for him to do what he wants to do, which is coach the X's and O's.
It was also a funny scene yesterday, Northwestern introducing Chip Kelly as their offensive coordinator, him talking about like the up and coming program that he thinks Northwestern is, his excitement to play at New Ryan Field. And guys like that, Isaiah, to your point, are just interested in calling ball. You know, the older you get, the less you want to deal with all of that that comes with nowadays in college football. You have to constantly recruit not only high school guys, but constantly recruit guys in the portal, guys that maybe you finish second in recruiting, but you think there's a chance that he might be an asset to us in the future coming out of the transfer portal. And it's an up at dawn siege. I mean, 365 days a year, you're constantly worried about one thing or the other. And it continues the conversation of the first thing I think you can do to alleviate some of this is change the calendar. Because with what was announced yesterday and 38 days for the college football playoff in the 2026 season leading up to a January 25th national championship game in 2027, it's too much more to be added to this already long college football regular season.
And you throw in your at the biggest time of your season, if you're a team that's in the college football playoff and you have to worry about your roster for next year and the transfer portal at the same time. I think Bo has mentioned this before, that Ryan Day maybe had 2 days off. Was it the national championship year? 2 days off that whole year. That's not a healthy lifestyle for anyone.
And you got to think, he's holding out, hoping that college football will fix this. At some point in time, they have to get this calendar right. They have to figure out everything that's making it so tenuous for all of the coaches. They have to be able to fix it at some point. That way, these guys can have a break. And he's holding out for that. But the real question is, when is college football going to get the leadership to actually make the decisions that they need to?
Yeah, it's a good question. One of several we'll try to ask Paul Feinbaum coming up here at 10:30. But the Blue Jackets are the hottest team in the NHL. We'll talk to Aaron Portsline coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends on
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
All right, here's what's up on a Thursday. Your Columbus Blue Jackets. 10 of their last 11, 10-1 with Rick Bowness behind the bench since January 13th on a 7-game win streak. And don't look now, 2 points out of a playoff spot where a month ago we thought that would be nice, maybe next year. But going out now to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline, we bring on a great friend of the program, Aaron Portsline, who covers the Blue Jackets for The Athletic. And Porty, in this run under Rick Bowness, what for you has been the biggest change, or I guess the biggest difference you've seen from this team?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Good to be with you. To me, it's the pressure, the aggression, the energy, front of the skates instead of the back of the skates. I think that's been a big thing, not just in the third period, but just in the way that they play. They're up on the puck. They're defending. They're defending aggressively. They're doing the defending rather than sitting back and letting the game come to them. I think Rick Bowness is an X's and O's guy that they desperately, desperately needed. But I think more than anything, it's an attitude shift of, going to win rather than hoping to win. And I think you feel that from the net out. I think life's been made a lot easier for the goaltenders, taking nothing away from them. They've both been great, Jet Greaves and Elvis Merzlikins. But I think the play in front of them, it looks a lot different. It's not a constant barrage of shots. The shots are down. The goals against are way down. I think they're just seeing different play in front of them. And that's forward and defensemen, I think, are all committed to it. So I think I'd peg that, if anything.
Porty, I think there could be a case that could be made that Dean Evason should have won the Jack Adams last year for the job he did with this team under the circumstances and the way that they played at the end of the year. Why do you think they weren't able to continue that into this season, and why Dean wasn't able to get this level of play out of this team?
Yeah, those are big questions that I think probably the Blue Jackets are still asking themselves, players and management. You're right. He probably deserved, well, Rick Bowness said he would have voted for him, right? I mean, I think many would. I don't vote for it. The broadcasters do. Listen, last year, we all know what happened near the start of training camp, the tragedy involving the Gaudreau brothers, and it created such an emotional attachment to that season. They were playing for a cause bigger than themselves. Everybody in that room had two hands on the rope pulling every night. Like, it was to not play that way was to not represent your feelings for your lost teammate. You knew it was going to be, not that they certainly haven't forgotten. The sweater is still there. Johnny is still a big part of everything that they do. But it wasn't going to be this year as it was last year. They needed to be coached and to be pushed this year in a way that was not necessary last season. And I think there was difficulty. I don't think people had a sense of, I'm speaking of Evason and his staff, how to get out of this. What needs to change? They're talking about bad breaks, right? Bad luck and all of this stuff. Well, that doesn't wash over, 40 plus games. I think Bowness has been exactly what they needed. He's not even a name I would have considered, Rick Bowness, because he was retired. I mean, it's been a year and a half. Not a guy on your list, but what a stroke of genius by Don Waddell to pick this guy at this time. And now we're looking at a case where, frankly, I don't think they're not going to go 11-1 every 12-game segment, but if Bowness continues to push them and get these results out of these guys, I don't think it's out of the question that he'll get votes for the Jack Adams at the end of the season. It's been a marvelous job.
Yeah, I heard Don Waddell talking over the last couple of weeks of how this was such a results-based decision in making the move to Rick Bowness. And, I remember Elvis Merzlikins talking with Jody Shelley after one game, and Jody had asked him, he gave him the list of things that have been different with Rick Bowness and the one or two games, and Elvis just said, new coach. With these two goalies and the way they've been playing, Porty, do you see this as the plan for the Blue Jackets going out after the trade deadline? They've got two goalies, and they're going to ride the hot hand every single night?
Well, they absolutely have to have two. And I know some people have asked, why is Elvis playing so much? Statistically, Jet Greaves has been a dramatically better goaltender. But look what March is bringing, 17 games in 31 days. Like, that's insane. That's the most games they've ever played in a month. That's more days with the game than days without, right? So, you know, you have to, you absolutely, if Elvis weren't playing any better than he was playing before Bonus was hired, he still has to play in March, right? Significant games. So he's wise to, and listen, Elvis is a very, very emotional goalie. We all know this. He needs something beyond just the game and the results of the game. And this idea that the old coach was the problem and the new coach is the answer, and let's get behind that, that gives him something to attach to it. And he's also been very, very honest about he's getting ready for the Olympics, the big stuff, guys, which is a very European perspective. But yeah, this is where they're going. It's going to be Greaves and Merzlikins. And if they keep playing like this, I'm not sure who will assert themselves as the number one. But both of them are going to be very, very busy the rest of the stretch, because when this Olympic break is over, my God, it is sprint to the finish doesn't quite say it.
On January 23rd, Porty, you tweeted, with his next goal, Zach Werenski will become just the 28th defenseman in NHL history to have three seasons of 20-plus goals. Only three of those players are active right now. Cale Makar, who is just ridiculous and probably the best on the planet, Brent Burns and Erik Karlsson. Well, Zach got that goal last night. I know that people in the hockey circles really, really appreciate Zach Werenski and the job he does. And I know that we appreciate him here in Columbus, but are we truly, truly appreciating the greatness we are seeing from this guy night in and night out?
I don't know that we can, to be honest with you. I think you're right. I think people do clearly see him as the best player on the team. Listen, it's pretty rare for a defenseman to lead his team in scoring once, yet in consecutive seasons, which Werenski's on the verge of doing, has a big lead in that category. I was thinking about this the other day. Rick Nash is often lauded as this franchise's best player. And obviously this is taking nothing away from Nash and his career. I think Werenski's caught him and passed him. Wow. I think we're looking at that. I think we're looking at the greatest player who's ever played for this organization. I do. And I think he is well on his way to a Hall of Fame career. He's on his way to number retirements, all of those things. I think he's got a really good chance, if this team makes the playoffs, to win the Norris Trophy this year. He leads defensemen in goals. He leads them in points. Those are the things. As high and mighty as us writers like to think we are sometimes, voters from outside markets look at those numbers. Makar had 30 goals last season. That's hard to overlook when you're voting for a defenseman for the Norris. Right now, Zach's got the edge in both of those categories, goals and points. He's putting himself in position. If they make the playoffs, I think he can win the Norris. And frankly, I think he deserves much, much consideration. I said this last year, for the heart, because that award is for the player most valuable to his team. And I would ask anyone to look around the league and find a player who's more valuable to the Blue Jackets than Zach Werenski is.
Porty, I know this may be hard to answer because it didn't happen, but I believe the Jackets were ready to give Seth Jones a big contract extension before he asked to be traded. If he doesn't ask to be traded, do the Blue Jackets still have Zach Werenski?
Well, that is a hell of a question. I mean, it's hard to say, right? Could both of them stay here? I mean, I think that is possible. I think what I respect about Zach is that he looked at that situation with Werenski, with Jones moving on. And at the time, it was considered Jones and then Werenski, if you remember. That Werenski was an offensive guy. Jones was more of a two-way guy. And Werenski said, no, I can be the guy here. And they're still good friends. If Jones moves along, it opens up for him to be the unquestioned big man on the back end. they're both, I think they could both be here, yes, because I think the success would have continued. But I think Werenski's desire to be the big man on campus, if you will, is really part of what's elevated his career to this stratosphere. Top five, for sure, defenseman in the league. I think if you asked around the league, top 15, top 20 players, he would show up on every one of those as well.
All right, Aaron, you got 3 weeks off. What are your plans for this Olympic break?
Well, 3 weeks without games. There's still a lot of stuff to write, stuff percolating. I am going to get away.
Nice.
I have somehow been married for 31 years. That does require time in the Caribbean in the wintertime. So that will take place. But listen, they get back to practice on the 18th. And then I think that it's going to be really interesting to see what Bonus can do with several days of hard practice, not games on the horizon, but he can really push these guys and really spend some time putting the elements into the game that he's wanted to add and hasn't had the time to add. So they may look like a different, hopefully, as good or better team on the other side of the break. But it's going to be an interesting week there before Werenski returns and before the NHL returns from the Olympics.
Yeah, 10 of your last 11 give you a lot to look forward to coming out of a three-week break. Porty, enjoy the Caribbean. Enjoy the time off. Look forward to hearing back from you when everybody returns, coming up, I think, on the 26th.
Correct. Back to action. Yeah, Boston. Boston and the Islanders, so no messing around.
Thanks for the time today, bud.
All right, guys. Anytime.
He joins us courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Welcome back to the spring game, University of Texas at Austin. That's next. Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. The Fan.
Men, it's the new year.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Hey there. Jane Lynch here. You want to hear something funny? Too bad. You want to hear something uplifting that will inspire you? Good. Because today, I want to talk to you about Direct Relief, a humanitarian organization that does seriously good work when it counts. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. When disaster strikes, Direct Relief immediately shows up with medicines, medical supplies, and everything doctors and nurses need to save lives. Let's ship her out! Every day across the United States and around the world, they're making an enormous difference. If someone needs help, Direct Relief helps. No politics, no red tape. Hey, what you doing over there?
Oh, I'm packing insulin for kids with diabetes.
See, every box here is literally a lifeline for someone in critical need. So check them out at directrelief.org. You might just bring a smile to someone's face.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses, the Fan.
I'm Leslie.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the Fan. The best hair on the air. You are listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Reeser Baker, Isaiah, rolling with you until noon. Thanks to Aaron Portsline in the last segment. Talking about the Red Hot Blue Jackets winners in 10 of their last 11 on a 7-game win streak. They'll be off for the Olympic break for the next 3 weeks. Elvis and Zach Werenski are going to go represent Latvia and Team USA, respectively. I think the games, the hockey starts next Thursday for the men. You've got mixed curling doubles going on right now as the Milan Cortina games are underway, technically, the opening ceremonies tomorrow at 2:00. So I fixed what was ailing me from a technical standpoint in terms of Bobby Hauk, the now former Montana Grizzlies head coach for the better part of the last 23 seasons. And when he had his retirement press conference yesterday, that came as a surprise to everybody because he's one of the winningest coaches in the FCS, certainly in the Big Sky Conference. What I really wanted everybody to hear was his main reasoning for stepping aside.
Dealing with what college football has become is not always enjoyable as a head coach. And, you know, I just haven't been enjoying it enough. I want to enjoy my career and my job, and a lot of the head coach stuff in current day Division I college football is not enjoyable.
It's one thing, you know, when we read it or we paraphrase what he says, but I think it's more powerful to hear it from the man himself. And I think, Baker, to the point that has been made over the past couple of weeks, this is just going to continue. I mean, you heard it from Nick Saban when he stepped away, where he just was not enjoying things. And now another one steps into the fold where they're just tired of all of it, of the way college football is been handled and the way college football and everything with the transfer portal, and there are no rules, at least there aren't any enforceable rules.
And I'm sure these coaches, they still love the locker room.
They love the players.
And they still love the players.
Games, I'm sure.
And they love coaching ball. They just love getting out there in the game, coaching X's and O's, helping these guys get better. But sometimes there are things outside of that where that stuff might start to outweigh the enjoyment you have with the other things. Like, Reese, we both love our job. We love what we do, and we love coming on here every day from 9 to noon and talking sports and saying stupid things and all of that. But sometimes there are things behind the scenes, you know, just like any job. There's a lot of people that if they could just go do their job, they would love it. But there's mm-hmm. always other things. When anything becomes a job and money becomes involved, there are some things somewhere that make it enjoyable. And that's when you have to outweigh, do the things that I love about this and the things that I enjoy, are they still better than the stuff I have to do to get there? And when the stuff you have to do starts to outweigh the stuff you love to do, then you make a decision. And I'm sure it's hard for Bobby Houck to walk away.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure he doesn't know anything else other than being a head football coach. And he's been at Montana for a long time doing it. And I'm sure that's a very, very hard decision. But you also have to decide what's best for you.
And I think a lot of college football fans just want the games. Tell me when they're playing football. For Ohio State, spring game is on April 18th at Ohio Stadium, same day for the University of Texas at Austin. Now, if you remember last year, and some of you might not, a handful of schools did away with an actual spring game. I think it was reported that Ohio State wasn't going to do one, or they were going to do it in a different format or fashion, like Nebraska did the Husker games, Oklahoma held their Crimson Combine that weren't actually games. It was just marketing and having your players available to sign autographs and take pictures for NIL monetization. Well, Texas is going back to an actual spring game. Same day as Ohio State's on April 18th. A Texas AD Chris Del Conte spoke last night in a Texas Athletics town hall. Daryl K. Royal Stadium's getting a renovation. And this from Del Conte, that the press box at DKR is going to be shifted to the south end zone. The old press box area will be converted into 10 luxury suites at $10 million a pop, which probably feels like the right amount, especially considering the marquee matchups that Texas wants to have, because he added that they're going to continue to schedule tough non-conference games. Texas says they're not going to cancel any of the non-cons coming up, like Ohio State in the fall, Michigan in 2027, and then a home-and-home series with Notre Dame. He says, quote, we are going to honor our word, which gives me great enthusiasm that other schools such as Ohio State, with big non-conference matchups looming, will continue to be on the schedule. I think you've got Alabama in 2027 and 28, and then Georgia on the back end of that, that many had thought, well, the way college scheduling is going, college football scheduling, they weren't going to play those games because those marquee matchups would be in the playoff. But I still hope, and what Del Conte said yesterday gives me a little bit more, that big schools are still going to schedule marquee matchups in the regular season.
Let me say, first of all, I'm glad for that. Mm-hmm. Good job out of you. But I wonder, had the SEC and the Big Ten and these teams say we're going to 9 conference game schedules plus a 10th
yeah.
game against the Power Four, I wonder if you would still be saying that. I wonder if it would be easy to say, well, sure. Ohio State, see you later. because, well, we just don't have to do this. But now that the SEC has said we're going to have 9 conference mm-hmm. games and you must play a 10th game against a Power Four, well, Ohio State's already on the schedule. Why are you going to kick them off to add an Iowa or a Purdue? Or, and I wonder if in the future, if the Purdues or if the Dukes
sure.
or if those will be the Missouri, not Missouri, that's not fair, and that's a conference game anyway, a Kansas State maybe, if those are going to be the games Texas picks rather than an Ohio State, rather than a Michigan, rather than a Miami, I wonder, but
yeah.
good on them, right?
Good. Let's
keep these games
it.
That are at least there. I hope Ohio State not only gets to play this game against Texas, I hope they get to play their games that are scheduled with Georgia. I hope they get to play their games yep. that are scheduled with Alabama, because that's what college football is all about. And that's what we thought we were going to get when we got a college football playoff. And it seemed to go the other way on us quick.
It's absolutely going the other way. If you look at Indiana and what their schedule is going to be looking like. I'm glad he's saying this, because if they do reverse course on it, you can go back and say, wait a minute, Del Conte, you wanted to... You were for this, and now he also had said he favors playoff expansion from 12 teams, so that drum's going to get going to be beat continually. And then he says he's against patches on Longhorn football jerseys. Quote, are we NASCAR? Why mess with perfection with our uniforms? Why would I want to put Sonic on our jersey? End quote.
I get it, but it's also something we're never going to notice. Like Texas, you just played in college football playoffs 2 years, or not this past year, but the year before, and you had patches on your jerseys mm-hmm. for the Cotton Bowl and for this bowl and that
fine.
Bowl. So you're fine. And I think to me, it's not like it's going to be Barbasol on the front of the crew jersey, like it's going to get rid of Texas
sure.
or Longhorns on the front of their jersey. It's just going to be a little patch. I think that's the easiest way for you to make money and nobody even notice.
Del Conte also blasts the reasoning behind 7 or 8 years of eligibility in college, saying, quote, it's straight bananas. You want my job? It's a mess. End quote. Also, you know, nice to hear this from one of the guys who's got a lot of influence in the sport.
Yeah. And they're going to, we said it last year, right? When they're like, no spring game,
uh-huh.
you'll come back around, because
you'll
there's a
it.
Way to make NIL money out of it. Like Ohio State is doing. They're going to be back. Sometimes we just overreact to things and
yes.
we change things too quick and whatnot. Again, I'm glad that Texas, that he's come out and said all this. I hope they stick to their word and it all stays like this moving forward. And I feel like, of course, they want more college football playoff teams because, well, they got left out last year.
Also, USC and Alabama did not do a spring game in 2025. Here's hoping that they reverse course on that, because a spring game, I think, is just good for everybody. 971BFS@gmail.com is the only time I'm ever going to say on these airwaves.
Ooh.
The email address. We'll open the mailbag next. Bishop and Friends on the Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
Ah. Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The hottest team in the NHL made it 7 straight last night as the Blue Jackets blanked the Blackhawks 4-0 at Nationwide. CBJ are 10-1 with Rick Bonus on the bench and 2 points out of a playoff spot. The 3-week Olympic break begins today. Jackets are back from that break on February 26th against the Boston Bruins. The Winter Olympics are underway with curling preliminaries. The opening ceremonies tomorrow at 2 o'clock. The trade deadline in the National Basketball Association is today at 3. This morning, the Warriors acquired Kristaps Porzingis from the Atlanta Hawks in exchange for Jonathan Kuminga and Buddy Hield. On the court last night, the Cavs beat the LA Clippers 124-91 in LA. No James Harden for Cleveland. Cavs are in Sacramento on Saturday. And in college hoops, Ohio State's at Maryland tonight at 8:30. You can hear it on The Fan with coverage at 7:30. Buckeyes will host No. 2 Michigan this coming Sunday. This update is sponsored by Eco Plumbers. Get $500 in free plumbing services when you buy a new water heater. Visit GetEco.com and book today.
After putting up with Tom Tabari for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
give you a peek behind the curtain. I read Maryland and my brain said they're not in the NBA. Thus the pregnant pause in that last SportsCenter update.
Well, neither are the Buckeyes, that's for sure.
I'm not sure that anybody is that anybody cares really about the NBA trade deadline unless the Cavs land Giannis. And that's looking less and less likely. And it looked even less likely when they acquired James Harden. Because I said this yesterday, they went from a dismissal in the Eastern Conference semis to now a dismissal in the Eastern Conference semis.
I will say,
but they've saved some money in doing so.
I will say, if you're a Cavs fan, you should be very, very thankful, because outside of like the Celtics and the Lakers, like, you've had so many amazing players suit up in your jerseys way past their prime. And you had D-Wade, now James Harden,
Shaq,
Deron Williams, Shaq, obviously LeBron, Derrick Rose. Like, there's so many to where it's always exciting being a Cavs fan, but you always get those guys about 6 years too late.
I was not watching last night. I know you tried and fell asleep about 5 minutes in. How disappointing that James Harden didn't play last night. And I understand that's a quick turnaround.
Sure.
But it's against his former team. I mean, Harden's just kind of a go out there and wing it player anyway. I don't see him as a huge systems player. So why not just throw him in the lineup? At least get him, you know, acclimated a little bit.
Yeah, he might play. I don't know what it would matter if they played against the Sacramento Kings this coming Saturday. Again, trade deadline, 3 o'clock today. The NHL trade deadline, March 6th. Rosters are frozen. That didn't stop. They're frozen now. The Kings and the Rangers got in yesterday, sending Artemi Panarin out to Los Angeles. So we'll see if the Breadman can finally compete for what feels like he hasn't since leaving Columbus, been on a legitimate contending team or a team that had contending aspirations and then just kind of fell short of it all. But the Jackets will be back against the Boston Bruins on February 26th. Just one more thing from Texas Athletic Director Chris Del Conte. So they're doing renovations to their stadium, and he said yesterday they're eventually going to go to natural grass. Del Conte adds, as soon as head coach Steve Sarkisian approves of it, since his team can rarely practice on it, but he thinks that the Longhorns will soon be playing home games on natural grass. Which I would look to Ross and say, how about over at the water table? Or is it above the water table or too low from the water table? What was the excuse that Gene always gave as to why you couldn't have natural grass at the Shoe?
It was too close to the water table. I don't know, above or below. It's interesting, and I'm all for that, but a lot of them say it costs more money to have natural grass than the field turf and the upkeep in a college football system where you need as much money as possible.
Yeah.
It doesn't maybe the smartest decision.
I gave out the email. I won't do it again. Let's open the bag.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. You've got to get it up. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. Again.
Bishop and Friends present Emails.
All right, this one comes to us from loyal listener Sean. Hey, guys, I wanted to share one of my travel nightmare stories after listening to Reeser's latest travel troubles. It says, my wife and I are flying home to Cleveland on a direct from Boston. Should have been simple. In the airport at our gate, I get the notification that the flight is canceled 1 hour before takeoff. Airline could get us on a flight the next day, but that would be Monday and meant missing work. So I thought of Bo's story and immediately booked a rental car for the upcoming 10.5 hour trek home. Initially, everything's going well until about 3 hours in, the tire pressure light comes on. One of the tires is a point low of normal, so initially didn't think much of it. Quickly realized it's going to be a problem as the PSI continues to drop. It was Sunday afternoon, so all tire repair shops were closed. For the next 6.5 hours, he says his wife is frantically using Google Maps to plot gas stations along the route so they can refill a tire every 30 minutes. The original 10.5 hour trip quickly turned into a 13-hour gas station tour along I-90 through rural New York and Pennsylvania, but they finally made it. He adds, I wish the story ended there, but once home, we walked in to discover a water leak from the upstairs toilet. To put the cherry on top, waiting for me in the mailbox was a jury duty summons. Looking back, I laugh and it made a very good story, but I think that day took a year off my life. Thank you for everything you guys do, Sean.
I don't know why, but hearing that story, I immediately think of like an Eeyore meme or something, like just the cloud,
a rain cloud
over top of him and hitting his head against the tree. Why bother? So, Sean, I think my initial thought on your tire would be if you're going to keep doing that, I would get out at the gas station and kind of look and see if maybe there was a nail or something. Maybe you could get one of those tire patch kits and plug that thing, or get you a bottle of the Fix-A-Flat at the gas station. I don't know if the rental car company ever has to know that you put the Fix-A-Flat in the tire, and as long as he gets you home, that's better than stopping every 30 minutes and putting air in. I think those would have been my two immediate situations there. And the water leak, God, that just sucks.
Yeah, I do wonder with returning rental cars, because we had in our trek from Charlotte through West Virginia, or through Virginia, through West Virginia back to Ohio, we had to use the windshield washer fluid a handful of times because you get snow and ice and you're constantly cleaning off your windshield. So we had low fluid. That notification came on about as we were reaching Athens on 33, and we didn't refill it, and they didn't send us anything. So I wonder with those kinds of things, how much are they actually checking? But for just how does the car look? Does the car still go from where you drop it off to where they park it?
I would guess, especially in the wintertime, they would need to check things like that. And if they're charging you for a bottle of windshield washer fluid that's like $5 that can fill that thing up three or four times, like, that's a little excessive.
This one comes to us from Zach. Hey, guys, I was thinking about the sponsor patch on the Ohio State uniform, and I stumbled across an interesting thought. What if Ohio State approached Nike about putting the LeBron logo on the jersey in that spot? Ohio State could work out an exclusive contract with his brand and expand it across the whole athletic department. LeBron gets to further entrench himself in Ohio State athletics and potentially fund the athletic department without spending a dime of his own money. Also, Nike has never had to sell an Ohio State jersey with a company's logo on it. I think there'd be a lot of value from the Nike side by locking up Ohio State, even if Oregon is in the conference.
Well, I mean, I'm guessing be a lot of value for Nike, for Reebok, for Adidas, for Under Armour. I'm sure all of them would like Ohio State. And as long as I can remember, Ohio State has been a Nike school, so I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. I'm guessing that the jerseys that will get sold inside the sporting goods stores or on Fanatics are not going to have a sponsor patch on them, because that sponsor patch is going to change year after year after year.
So potentially,
I don't think they're going to sell them in stores. There probably is a great amount of value in that, but I'm guessing that would take the contract and the sponsorship into a whole nother stratosphere. Well, LeBron thing is interesting. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Maybe it could be something where the LeBron brand, like you have some Jordan brand schools, which is all through Nike. Maybe the LeBron brand is Ohio State's brand moving forward with Nike. Who knows? That's an interesting a thought and proposition.
Because you've got the Jumpman on Michigan's jersey, and there's no connection whatsoever for Michael Jordan and the school up north. So, yeah, I think any way you can make some money. I do feel like if they were to put the LeBron logo on the uniform, they'd also still have a company. Like, they wouldn't be full-on soccer kit, but have as many patches as they could get away with. So you appease Nike by having one of their logos, and then you also sell in another spot something to maybe a Wendy's or a Scott's Miracle-Gro. This comes from Brian. He says, I know I haven't watched every minute of every Blue Jackets game, but is it just me, or has Matthew Olivier not had a serious tilt since he and Reeves broke the internet? Also seems that he is putting up more points in penalty minutes. The two have to be somewhat related. Could it be the league is thinking twice about challenging anyone on the Jackets for fear of Olivier, and is this a part of their current winning streak? He adds he loves the show. I pose that to you, Baker.
So, I think as people have gotten to know Matthew Olivier a little bit the past 2 years, I don't think anybody wants to fight him, quite frankly. There's very few guys in the league that are considered true enforcers nowadays anyways. If this was 2005, when Jody Shelley and Jared Bull were around the Blue Jackets, so Matthew Olivier would have a dance partner every night. But that's not just the case anymore. There's not a lot of guys like Ryan Reeves out there anymore. Also, Matthew Olivier, the past 2 years, has maybe even a little longer than that, has really worked hard at improving his game and his skill and becoming a guy that is more than just a fighter, because he probably realizes that the way of just fighting in the NHL is over. Like, you've got to contribute and help out with the team as well. He's become a very good defender, a penalty killer on this team, and the penalty kill has been absolutely ridiculously good here recently. So I think it is all there. There is a lack of fighters in the league now that want to go with him. There's not a lot of guys that can hang with Matthew Olivier, so they're not just going out of their way to fight him. I think Olivier's trying. There were a couple times he went after a couple guys last night, but it takes two to tango.
We have the imaging and Shelly time intro, drop the gloves. And I don't think there's anybody outside of a hockey player that ever wanted to drop the gloves on 45. I think it's similar for Matthew Olivier. It even extends onto the ice where few want to drop the gloves against him. We got one more email on a read from Robert. We got a couple of topics that I'd like to get your thoughts on, Baker and Isaiah. And then for the Basketball Buckeyes and Jake Diebler, tonight is a must win against Maryland. Coming up next, Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hey, what's up? It's T-Bone.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
All the action, none of the responsibility.
The Fan.
Hey, it's T-Bone.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for us today and chilly. Temperatures will be getting into the low 20s and our feels like could be into the negatives. As we go into tonight, expect skies to be mostly cloudy with temperatures in the teens. Friday, snow develops as we go into the morning, becoming a little bit heavier as we go toward the lunch hour. We could see 1 to 2 inches possible. Daytime highs will be in the mid to upper 30s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. If you love a good pie analogy,
think of the cap as a pie. And once you take out one piece, there's less left for the next guy.
Then this is the radio show for you. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Reeser and Baker with you on this Thursday edition of the program. We've got the email bag will open up here again in a sec. I just want to reference our YouTube chat real quick where Dan comes in and says, I don't know what the deal is, but the last two rentals I've had do not have jacks or spare tires. And I saw that after I saw a comment from Chris that says, I blame that emailer's father for not teaching him to change a tire. And most cars do come with spare tires, but I guess in Dan's experience, the last two have not come with.
I want to know if Dan has had issues with his tires or if he's just checking.
That's wild to
me. When he gets his rental car, he's like, am I going to make sure there's a jack and a spare here? Like, good for him if he's dotting all his I's and crossing all his T's and getting his safety checks in order. That's not something I would ever think of to be like, oh, you know what? I don't know if this rental has a spare tire in it. Let me check before I take it off the lot.
Usually when I'm trying to get a rental car, the process to get it takes so long. There's always a line. Mm-hmm. And by the time that I finally get in the car, I'm like, let's get the heck out of here. I've been on a plane for hours. Get me out of here.
So it's funny you mentioned that because I could not tell you the last time. Well, probably the last time I had a rental car was when I was in a wreck and a car was getting fixed. But when we travel now, a lot of times when we would need a rental car, if we would need one, we do that Toro, which is like an Airbnb for cars where you're actually borrowing somebody's car for the week or whatever. Yeah. And it's cheaper than a rental car. It's way faster. Like they drop it off and it's got a key box there and they tell you how to get into it and use the key. And then you drop it back off wherever and they pick it up. It beats the rental car so much. It's way better.
All right. We'll go back to the mailbag here with Robert. It says, friends, hello. I like your show and Joshua Perry as an addition. Yeah. Side note to that. We are so lucky to have JP back on The Fan again. He makes all of the shows that he's on better. He's out in San Francisco, kissing babies, shaking hands today.
He's going to be filling in for the Common Man here recently or soon, because Common Man is going to head over to Italy for the Olympics.
He's going to go over that.
Yeah, okay. For that. And then Tyvus here later this spring is going to be going on paternity leave. How dare he take that when he's so against PTO? But then JP will be filling in for Tyvus on T-Bone and Tyvus. So, yeah, we're... I don't know how, and obviously he works for NBC Sports,
sure.
But gosh, Joshua Perry should be on anything, ESPN, CBS, whoever wants him, throw the bag at him because he's so good at what he does.
So Robert has a couple of things that he brings up in his email. I'm going to go with the secondary note. I don't think the revenue sharing agreement in the NCAA was an actual cap. Any salary cap or management would likely require an antitrust exemption for the NCAA and might face significant legal battles even with an antitrust exemption. Once the NCAA became primarily a revenue-generating institution, it gave up most of its standing. It's really its purpose. So I don't know about all that, because I'm not a lawyer, but I do think when they talk about a cap, they mean just what's been agreed upon by members who have joined in with the CSC, and that $20.5 million cap from the institutions for their television revenue or for their athletic department revenue, that can be shared, and there's a cap on that. Nothing from a third party or a collective or a booster is under any sort of restriction as of right now, so long as individual athletes report their NIL deals with the CSC clearinghouse. And it's interesting Robert brings that up, because Mark Pantone, Ohio State's general manager, was on a podcast with Adrian Wojnarowski, who used to be ESPN's primary NBA insider, now is the general manager of the St. Bonaventure Bonnies basketball team. And Pantone talked a little bit about that. We'll play some of Pantone's comments coming up at 11 o'clock. But again, thank you all to all who've sent emails to the new inbox, which I cannot give anymore. Contractually, I'm obligated just once.
You might be in trouble for saying it this morning.
I said it once. Never again. And I think one of Bo's emails might still work. I don't know. We've got top men on it, but top men have had a lot to do around here over the last couple of weeks.
Just send them to the new one.
Yeah, send them to the new one.
Just send them to the new one.
But we're not going
to
tell
you. It may or may not be linked to the show page over at 971thefan.com.
Oh, top men got that done.
It could be.
Okay, great. 971thefan.com. Click on the link that says emails. Be able to do those every Thursday for you. Tonight, Maryland's bad, so you need to beat them. For Jake Diebler and company, and I don't necessarily care if Christoph Tilley's available for you or not. He was limping around pretty badly for the Buckeyes in their last outing. But Maryland's lost their last three. They're 8-13, 1-9 in the conference. This is a game you must win.
And I hate that I'm so negative with
hard not to be.
My fandom, and especially with Ohio State basketball right now, because the way I feel about the Columbus Blue Jackets right now and my fandom for them, that was Ohio State basketball for me growing up. And I hate that the Ohio State basketball program is in the position they are, and they're struggling as bad as they are. But I was looking at the schedule, Reese, and there is a world where regardless, if you win or you lose this game tonight, but you need to win this game. You have to win this game tonight on the road at Maryland. There is a world where Ohio State may not have another win till March 4th after this, because the schedule is tough. USC is a team that's right there with you. You've got Virginia, you've got Michigan, you've got Purdue. You've got all these teams, Wisconsin again, and they just took care of you pretty easily. There is a legit possibility. Now, I don't think it's going to happen, because you'd have to think Ohio State is going to pick one off in there that maybe they shouldn't win.
Maybe they beat Virginia and Nashville.
Could be.
On Valentine's
Day. But there is a legit possibility that you don't have a win on your schedule until March 4th.
I'm not ready to go there yet, because I still want to be glasses half full with the basketball Buckeyes. So I'm just going to be worried about tonight's game at Maryland. It's an 8:30 tip. We'll have fan pregame coverage at 7:30. You look to Sunday's game against Michigan at 1 o'clock. Is the furthest, I guess, I will say I will go. Because that's just the next game after tonight. You're going to need everything to go your way like it did in Ann Arbor a couple of weeks ago, and then some. And so Christoph Tilley, I think, is still questionable dealing with that lower body injury that kept him major moments in that loss to Wisconsin. For the Ohio State women's basketball team, they are ninth in the country, 20-3 overall at Washington tonight at 9 o'clock. The 24th ranked Huskies are 17-5 overall. It's a Peacock only production. Tyler Danberg's going to have the coverage on the Fan too. That's 1460 on the AM dial at 8:45, I should say. Some good news for the basketball Buckeyes in the future with Anthony Thompson, who became Ohio State's first McDonald's All-American on the men's side in 12 years.
That is so hard to fathom.
Yeah.
Right? Because of the run of players that you had going back through, like Michael Redd and Scooney Penn and then Brian Brown. And I know not all of these guys were McDonald's All-Americans, but then you go into Greg Oden, Mike Conley, David Leidy, Daquan Cook in that class, and then the Evan Turners, the Jared Sullingers, the D'Angelo Russells. It's just crazy to think that you haven't had one since D'Angelo.
Well, now you do with Anthony Thompson, but he's still at Western Reserve and not able to help you this season. Again, yeah, D'Angelo was the last one back in 2014. Some news out of the State House for NIL at the high school level, where Tuesday morning, a pair of Cincinnati area representatives introduced House Bill 661, an Ohio House bill that would ban an OHSAA policy that allows middle and high school students to earn money from businesses for the use of their name, image, and likeness. This was back in, what, November, where OHSAA member schools had it put to a vote after Ohio State commit Jameer Brown sued the NCAA in court, that member schools voted in favor of allowing high school athletes to make money or enter into deals off their name, image, and likeness. Now, I've talked to Dave Papura, who covers high school sports in Central Ohio at the Columbus Dispatch, and back in January, only about 12 actual deals had been reported to the OHSAA. So outside of major metropolitan areas like Columbus, where Jameer Brown's going to be playing close to next season with Big Walnut, but Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland, like those are the only really areas that you're going to see this in a big way, doesn't feel to me that needs any at all involvement from the Ohio State House. Just the OHSA member schools voted on this and let it happen, if that makes sense.
I do feel like there is something to wanting to protect high school students in this. I think college athletes are different because college athletes are grown-ups, right? They're adults. Whether we want to think they are or not, they're 18. They're adults. So I do want to think there is something to trying to protect high school students in this who are still kids. But this is going to affect such a few amount of kids. It's going to be just the kids that are going to Division I schools for the most part. Yep. Now, some people are going to say you're going to have some of the bigger parochial type schools that are going to try to pay kids to get them to come there. And I'm sure maybe that will happen on some level. But as far as like true NIL deals, there is only going to be a handful of kids that are affected like this. The Jameer Browns, the Anthony Thompsons, yeah, the Darren Petersons, who we know at the time left the state because you couldn't have NIL. Alex Smith, the kid from Upper Arlington, who maybe left because he wanted to get some NIL deals. He probably also wanted to be developed a little more at Prolific Prep than yep, maybe he would at Upper Arlington, although I don't know how you could get more developed than a UA Golden Bear, right, Reese?
Certainly no, but I understand from the standpoint with a lot of these guys, they're trying to make a professional run at this. And the professionalization of athletics has become an earlier and earlier thing in the lives of student athletes. And so this, it feels to me with the NIL trying, you are only going to have so many of these, and there's not going to be that much or that many to where the State House needs to stick their nose into it, because things around the state need your attention more so than NIL at the high school level. It's just never going to get to the point of college athletics where it's really running roughshod over that. We're going to get some input on just which of the SEC schools that has their quarterback in court with the NCAA might actually suit up for said school. Paul Feinbaum joins us in 2 minutes. It's next, Bishop and Friends.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
thing about the Fans contest,
how to win,
or what's up for grabs,
check out 971thefan.com.
The Fan,
Ohio's sports destination.
Bishop and Friends present college football's most polarizing figure.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Come on back to our show, Tim. The audience hates you.
This is ESPN's Paul Feinbaum.
Reeser and Baker with you on a Thursday edition of the program. Bo is trending towards a Friday return on this show. We go out now to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline and bring on ESPN's Paul Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show and the SEC Network. Paul, Trinidad Chambliss of Ole Miss added his name to the list of Southeastern Conference quarterbacks currently at odds with the NCAA in federal court, in state court. Which of those three, Diego Pavia, Joey Aguilar, or Trinidad, actually play for their respective team in 2026?
Yeah, I think right now the one who has the best shot is Joey Aguilar. I think Diego Pavia has used up his 15 years of eligibility, so I don't see him anywhere near the football field. But the Chambliss case is fascinating, and it's really about attribution right now. Ole Miss claims that he was ill during one of his years at Ferris State. They have not been able to verify it to the NCAA satisfaction. The Aguilar case is even more interesting. I think this would be his eighth year overall. I think he's played countless years in junior college and one at App State, and this would be his second at Tennessee. But what he did, he followed the Betty Ocko case, the basketball player at Alabama who went judge shopping. And Aguilar found a judge in Knoxville, Tennessee, who has a degree from not only undergraduate but from the Tennessee Law School. And he is shown on social media wearing Tennessee paraphernalia. So he got a favorable ruling yesterday. It will still be adjudicated, but my guess is he will definitely play for Tennessee this year.
Paul, what is there or is there a solution to this so we don't have to have all these court cases every year with guys trying to get extra years of eligibility?
Well, it's just these things are epidemic. You see one person doing it, and Pavi originally did it, and Aguilar joined his case, and then he separated himself. And then it's just a matter of need. And in the basketball case, Alabama, which has been a perennial Elite Eight, Sweet 16, Final Four team in recent years, struggled. They didn't have that. They needed help on in the paint. So I don't know exactly the circumstances, but Charles Bediako 3 weeks ago was playing in a G League game in Birmingham, Alabama for the Motor City Motorcycles or something. You guys may know the G League better than I do. And he literally, got dressed and went straight to Tuscaloosa, which is 55 miles away, probably making a lot more money, undoubtedly making a lot more money. So once you see these cases, you start popping up. And now, in spite of all the screaming from coaches and ADs, the NCAA really is somewhat powerless, because if you adjudicate these in local courts, you're probably going to get a favorable ruling. The NCAA has endless number of cases going on simultaneously. And by the way, they weren't very effective in court on their best day.
Yeah, Paul, Charlie Baker laughed at the theater of it all going on with basketball and college football and all these eligibility-related issues. The NCAA has no real teeth. The College Sports Commission was supposed to come in and do something. At what point do the coaches really band together from every major conference and try to figure something else out on their own? Because the government's not helping. The NCAA is not helping. It doesn't feel like the CSC's got any teeth to do anything.
Well, what was so pathetic yesterday from Charlie Baker, he issued another meaningless statement, but the end of it was the most important. He ended the statement with the tired line of, "We now must go to Congress and get resolution." Well, I don't want to act like I'm a political scientist, even though I have a degree. And Congress will not help. There was never a better setup than January of 25 for Congress to enact. You had the president who was interested in college athletics. You had a Republican Senate and a Republican House of Representatives. And that was the moment in time. That has passed now. The president is still interested in college athletics, but on his terms, not the NCAA's terms.
Congress will likely shift a little bit in the midterm elections, and it is just not going to happen. And when I say effort, we're talking tens of millions of dollars have been spent on lobbying, and a bill has not even made it out of a committee, which has to happen before it can even get to the floor, which if it passes the House, it still has to get 2/3 in the Senate. It's just not going to happen.
ESPN's Paul Feinbaum joins us every Thursday at this time on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Earlier, Paul, we talked about some of the things the Texas AD came out and said this week. One of the things was that Texas is going to play their game with Ohio State next year. They plan on playing their game with Michigan moving forward, and a home-and-home they have with Notre Dame coming up. And I love that we're going to continue to have those games on the schedule. But do you think that would be the case if the SEC had not moved to a 9-conference game and 1 Power 4 game as well schedule every year?
Yeah, I mean, I know what Chris Del Conte said, and I think we should applaud him, but I don't necessarily believe him, because the game, nobody has a better argument against playing this game than Texas. And you guys all know what I'm about to say because of what happened last year. And I think as we move forward, and once that 9th game goes into effect this coming season, and if the CFP does not expand, you will see those games disappear. Not all of them, but some of them. And with and I know a lot of Big Ten fans go, well, what's the big deal about a 9-game season? We do it. Well, that's a little bit different. I mean, there's no question the Big Ten is elite at the top level. But I would argue that when you play in the SEC, you know, schools 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 are probably a little more challenging than 15, 16, 17, and 18 in the Big Ten. And the SEC coaches are going to rebel. A lot of even though that move was made last year, a lot of SEC coaches and ADs are not happy about that 9th game without something in return. And so far, they have not gotten anything in return other than more money from ESPN.
Yeah, Paul, I looked to Ohio State's future schedules. You got a home-and-home scheduled with Georgia, and then a home-and-home scheduled with Alabama the next 2 seasons, and then a home-and-home with Georgia. Is there any confidence from your part of the country that those games will actually happen?
Yeah, I think I sincerely doubt the Alabama game is going to happen based on what I've heard from Alabama's AD. He's got a shaky situation there anyway with a coach who was in trouble. Georgia might do it because they're a little more in tune and aligned, but I really don't think we're going to go too far and see those games. And I know what Ross Bjorka said, and I know what Del Conte has said, and other ADs have said, but the reality is that 9th SEC game is going to be very costly for a lot of programs.
LSU recently came under scrutiny from the College Sports Commission on some NIL deals that were happening within the program. One question, and I don't know if you have any idea on this, did that stem from all of the stuff with Dabo and Ole Miss and LSU and all of that with that area or that situation right there? And two, are we confident that the College Sports Commission is so efficient that they looked at these deals already and said, oh yeah, they're all on the up and up?
I believe the case with LSU dealt with the Washington quarterback, if you remember, about 4 weeks ago. He was on the verge of leaving. The Dabo case is interesting. It created a lot of news. But no, I have no confidence at all that the College Sports Commission is going to be able to do anything. I think they looked into it because they have to. I mean, they have a staff there that probably gets paid. So they looked, you know, they shuffled some paper around and they came up with a stamp of approval. But there's no enforcement going on right now in college athletics. And quite frankly, there hasn't been for some time other than the eligibility issues, which is a little bit different than enforcement, because the NCAA just simply does not want to get into litigation. And most of the time they will lose now. So in other words, they're just looking the other way. What Dabo said in principle was correct. But until something happens, which it won't, it's just a bunch of sound and fury signifying nothing.
Yeah, it's a Wild West that looks to only get wilder. Paul, thanks so much for the time. We greatly appreciate it. We look forward to talking with you next week.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
He joins us courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll do Thing or Not a Thing coming up next. Bishop and Friends.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is the Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. We see what Tayshaun Chadman has done, especially in the offensive end, the last two games. Is it as much as confidence seeing the ball go through the hoop for him, Jake?
Well, I think it started, you know, a couple rotations for him even before the last two games where we saw him be more aggressive. And, you know, he's a gifted scorer. So once you saw one go in, it kind of opened up the rim for him, and I like his aggressiveness that he's playing with, and he's making good decisions mostly on offense. You know, we need some of that to carry over on the other side, and you know, we're working on that. But yeah, we've been searching for some offensive punch off the bench, and he's certainly provided that really well for us the last couple games.
And great to see a guy that's come back from the injuries the way he has to be able to be in the position to do what he can do.
Well, you root for guys like that who go through stuff, you know, and have to overcome adversity. So certainly just, you know, him being available this year was a big step forward, and it's been a long time since he's been able to play with any consistency, even in practice. And so, you know, you're starting to, I think, see some of the benefits of that.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the court. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. Basketball is full of challenging shots, and life can be too. With Encova, you don't have to do it alone. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
At Ohio State, we are the Never Afraid to Innovate teams and the Improve People's Lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Now, it's a small sample size, Jake, but Puff Johnson, three games, you know, small dose of minutes spoon-fed to him, but any kind of feelings on what you're seeing just as he starts his progress?
Well, I think he's getting more and more impactful. You're starting to see his rebounding take form and, you know, ability to get deflections and do some things out there. So good to see him, you know, hit a shot and get in the scoring column and provide, again, some more offensive punch for us off the bench. And, you know, I think he's continuing to get more and more comfortable and pick things up quickly.
Okay, there's the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Hello, I'm Ross Bjork, Senior Vice President and Eugene Smith Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director at The Ohio State University. In partnership with AEP, Donato's, Kroger, The Ohio State University, Wexner Medical Center, Huntington, and 10TV, Ohio State Athletics strives to inspire the community to make a positive impact on children and families in our great state through the Buckeyes Care Initiative. Show and share your support in the community by using the hashtag #BuckeyesCare.
Everybody knows that Roosters is a fun, casual joint with their award-winning waitstaff, great food, fun, and laughter. It's a quick stop on the way home to sit back and unwind. It's a front row seat to the big game. Roosters is where you, your family, and friends can order pizzas, sandwiches, salads, and more. And the home of award-winning wings that are fresh, never frozen, and so big you won't believe it. It's your family's other dinner table. Roosters, a fun, casual joint, and the official wing sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Things people
for heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
We'll read your emails on the air, but we won't tell you where to send them.
Hey, we're not doing all the work for you.
This is Bishop and Friends.
You hear that? That's why I can't tell you where you send the emails to, only that we do the mailbag Thursdays at 10 o'clock. It's a contractual obligation. I do as big voice guys as he demands. I'm a servant here.
we don't want you to get in trouble, Reese. So follow Big Voice Guy's commands. And if you ever do need the email, 971TheFan, Bishop and Friends show page, it may or may not be there.
Our thanks to Paul Feinbaum in the last segment. Delivered a little bit of a bummer. And Austin Ward had this on the Buckeye Show a couple weeks ago. And this isn't Austin's fault. This isn't Paul's fault. This is just where we are in college football. That Ohio State's home-and-home series with Alabama scheduled in 2027 and in 2028. Next season, supposedly, to host the Crimson Tide. And then in 28, to go to Tuscaloosa. Probably not going to happen.
And that's a major bummer. Because we thought when we got expanded college football playoffs that we would get more of those games. Now it seems like these teams are just using it as an excuse to cancel them.
And also I'm seeing from NBC Olympics, the Milano Santa Giulia Ice Hockey Arena is ready to go.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Speaking of the Olympics, Team USA, 2-for-2 right now.
Hell
curling,
yeah.
Let's go.
Mixed curling doubles, your Olympic opener. The opening ceremony tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Yeah, NBC Olympics just has a drone flying around the ice hockey arena. I know there was consternation on if it was going to be ready by what would be this weekend's women's ice hockey prelims, and then you've got men's group play starting next week. Looks fine. Might be a little bigger than I think NHL regulation, but definitely something I think you can look at the Four Nations and how much enthusiasm there was for that, and especially locally with watching Zach Werenski and how he did in that tournament. You think something similar is coming next week.
So, Reese, we may have to look this up, but I believe, So normally international ice is bigger than the NHL ice surface. I actually think this one is smaller than the NHL ice surface, so a little bit. So that's one of the things that's going to be a little different about these Olympics, and usually international hockey is more wide open, especially because they're not trying to... You know, it's not the physicality a lot of times of the NHL, but there's a little more ice, so it's wide open. This might be a little more condensed even.
So that definitely a thing. Yesterday, the Mid-American Conference announced that next Friday's matchup between the Ohio Bobcats and the 23rd-ranked Miami Redhawks has been moved from ESPNU to ESPN. The Battle of the Bricks will now tip off at 9 o'clock from Millett Hall in Oxford. From 7 to 9 that night, ESPN's going to be airing the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game. Go to the Battle of the Bricks on the Worldwide Leader. Thing or not a thing?
So this is a thing, and it's a good thing in one respect, and it's a bad thing in another. Shame on making Miami and Ohio play at 9 o'clock on this Friday, right? And I know it's a Friday, so it's a little different. You're heading into the weekend, but
Friday
shame
the 13th.
On you for making them play at 9 o'clock. That's just ridiculous, having those two schools. But it's a really good thing. For both, because Ohio University basketball has had some pretty good teams over the past few years. And this Miami team might be the story of college basketball this year right now. It's definitely the feel-good story, as they are 23-0. They're ranked 23rd in the country. They are a fun team that can shoot the basketball. Like, all five guys that they have on the court at all times can shoot the basketball. So it's fun that they're going to get some national recognition here. I hate that it's 9 o'clock for them and the students, but hopefully this game is packed. This is a huge rivalry game. I hate to say this, Reese, with you sitting here next to me.
You don't hate to say this.
I do hate to say it, but go Redhawks here. I love this story, and I would love to see this Miami team play Ohio State right now and see what the outcome would be.
I don't know if I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd love
it. I don't know if I'm on board with that. I don't like losing to teams that also are in Ohio.
Oh, so you're just already throwing the loss on
the
Buckeyes.
I'm not saying that we're going to lose, but I don't want to risk it either. I don't want to risk it. I think this is a thing as well, especially with, obviously, the rivalry goes into it. The only thing that I wish is I wish that it was at OU. I wish it was down in Athens. That way, you could really see the rivalry, them go on the road to their rival. Right now, OU, they're not bad either. They're fourth in the MAC right now. Could they get the upset here? But the thing is I don't want them to win. I want Miami to keep on winning. I think the story is better if they can stay undefeated. Because realistically, for everyone around the country, like if Miami of Ohio gets knocked off by OU, does it really feel like the biggest upset ever? I would rather see Miami keep on winning.
Just say 24-0 will become 24-1 next Friday, the 13th, the Battle of the Bricks.
Did you just Paul Heyman that? The 22-1 and 22-1?
Sure.
With Brock Lesnar ending the streak at WrestleMania.
I didn't mean to talk about, you know, the dead man streak going down, but I'd like to see my Bobcats make the longest streak right now in Mid-American Conference history in terms of starting a season is owned by the 2025 Miami Redhawks. ESPN's Jeff Passan broke this last night. All-star left-handed pitcher Framber Valdez and the Detroit Tigers are in agreement on a three-year, $115 million contract. The 32-year-old Valdez gets the highest AAV ever for a lefty, as well as the highest for a Latin American pitcher. AL Cy Young winner Tarek Skubal is in arbitration right now with the Tigers, and if he wins that, Detroit's going to pay him $32 million in 2026. Thing or not a thing?
So I'm glad you put this in here today, because if you had not, I was going to.
Great.
This is a little ridiculous, and it seems like bad business to me here for the Detroit Tigers, because Tarek Skubal might be the best pitcher in the game.
He is.
And you're about to go to arbitration with him because you want to give him $19 million a year, and he's asking for $32. So you're going to go into arbitration where you're going to air out all the things that you don't like about Skubal and why he shouldn't get $32 million a year, yet you're going to give a guy who is not on your team, a guy who is older, about $38 million a year? To come in here, it's almost like a slap in the face to Skubal, and I know they want to have both of them on their roster here, but why are you arguing over the dollars with Skubal if you're giving Valdez this much money? It just doesn't seem like something, and I don't know if the Detroit Tigers were going to be able to sign Tarek Skubal long-term or not, but this sure seems like something that's going to get him to want to leave when you're going to argue over a couple million bucks with him when you're going to give this guy who you don't know, who has not been a part of your team, more money than what Skubal's asking for in arbitration.
Which is unbelievable, man. It's a huge thing, too, because with Skubal, I mean, he's back-to-back AL Cy Young Award winner. Like, how in the world can you even think to bring somebody else in without paying him first? I mean, he just knocked out the Gardo. So as a Guardians fan, I also double hate this, because if they are able to keep both of them, then the division is going to be pretty tough this year. The Tigers already were winning it last year until the very end when they started to crumble a little bit. But seeing Skubal and him on the same lineup, I don't like that at all.
Yeah, it's nice that they're going to be paying all that money just to lose the AL Central to the Cleveland Guardians the last 2 months of the season. So I'm all here for it. Because, yeah, Tarek Skubal, and that's, I think, the biggest difference is right now, Skubal's under team control. And so that's the difference in that, and bringing on, I think, Valdez is probably the best free agent available. Pitchers and catchers report next week. You'll hear the ambassador of cool talking about how the sausage is made for the Ohio State football team. Coming up next, Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo. And zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The basketball Buckeyes are on the road Thursday. The ninth-ranked Ohio State women's squad is at number 24 Washington tonight at 9 o'clock. Tyler Danberg will have the call over on The Fan, too. That's 1460 on the AM dial with coverage at 845. Jake Diebler's squad is at Maryland tonight at 8:30. You can hear that one on The Fan with coverage at 7:30. Buckeyes will host number 2 Michigan on Sunday. In the NBA, the trade deadline's today at 3 o'clock. The Warriors acquired Kristaps Porzingis today in a deal with the Atlanta Hawks. The Cavs swapped Darius Garland with James Harden from the Clippers earlier in the week. No word on when Harden will make his Cleveland debut. Cavs are at the Kings on Saturday. In the NHL, the Blue Jackets are off for the next 3 weeks. CBJ entered the Olympic break on a 7-game win streak after blanking the Blackhawks last night. Jackets 2 points out of a playoff spot. They'll return on February 26th in Boston. This update is sponsored by Eco Plumbers. Get $500 in free plumbing services when you buy a new water heater. Visit geteco.com and book today.
Find us on YouTube. Search WBNS Radio and you can see what Bo looks like. But only if you subscribe. This is Bishop and Friends.
Yes, it is. Reeser and Baker along with Isaiah on a Thursday edition of the program. Bo Bishop trending. in the right direction, I will upgrade him to probable for tomorrow's show.
That's good.
I'm not a doctor.
He has not been downgraded.
In discussions with him, I would say now it's an upgrade. So we'll hopefully have him back for Friday.
Bo seems optimistic about his chances for playing tomorrow.
All right. Chris had asked on the YouTube chat in the last segment about the Miami Redhawks odds to win the national championship in college basketball. And I looked at FanDuel, and it's plus 50,000. In case you were wondering, Ohio State plus 25,000 to win the basketball championship. Arizona, so it's the Wildcats and the Redhawks, the only two unbeaten in college basketball. Arizona's plus 450, Michigan plus 500, Duke, Illinois, Houston, Florida, and Connecticut after that. Tell me there's a chance.
It's a chance. It's worth a $10 lottery ticket, right? Well, a little bit of a flyer.
I think for Miami, you know, it buttresses the point that we make about how the MAC's a two-bid league. It's not been since 99 where the Mid-American Conference put two teams in. But in case you missed the news, the 23rd ranked Redhawks are 23-0 on the season of the Battle of the Bricks in Oxford next Friday. That game got moved to ESPN. So the big boy broadcasting station is going to be playing some big boy college hoops. But right before it is the NBA's All-Star Celebrity Challenge. I think like Shams is doing that. Maybe it's not Glorilla, but the lineup for that All-Star Celebrity Challenge leaves the most to be desired, as does most All-Star festivities. We had talked with Paul Feinbaum in the last hour of the program, and anything that you miss from this show is available on YouTube. It's also available wherever it is you get your podcasts, about Ohio State and their home-and-home series 27-28 against Bama at Bama, 2030-2031 against the University of Georgia. And he feels that the Bama series won't happen and that somehow, some way, Bama will ask out of that, which is disappointing. We had comments by Chris Del Conte, the athletic director at Texas, from yesterday saying, quote, "I prefer to preserve the regular season by playing great games and not dumbing down your schedule and playing nobody with the hopes that you can get in the playoff because you played nobody," end quote. And you had heard Steve Sarkisian kind of say something different in the regular season. After that game against Ohio State, you know, they lose that, and then they lose a game against Florida, and he says, well, why are we playing some of these non-conferences if it's just going to hurt our playoff resume? It's like, well, sir, win the game. It really does dumb down the college football regular season, even more so when people come out and say, well, the 12-teamer doesn't make the regular season worth anything anymore, and likely when it expands, it won't expand in this next round, but maybe in 2027, it makes it worse. In terms of Ohio State and building a roster to compete for a college football national championship in 2027, the onus, a lot of the work falls on Mark Pantoni, Ohio State's general manager. And he's really been kind of the blueprint for that position. Urban brings him up from Florida, and schools all over the country are trying to replicate that. St. Bonaventure hired Adrian Wojnarowski to be their men's basketball general manager. And Woj has a podcast called The Program. He had the Ambassador of Cool on the most recent edition of that. And here was Mark Pantoni talking about how they figure out how much to pay players on Ohio State's roster, knowing that they've got to bring in portal persons and high school recruits.
It's a fine balance of the assistant coaches are developing these relationships with these families and the kids, and they feel strongly about their evaluations. And then I'm kind of like Switzerland, where I have no attachment to where I'm evaluating the film, coming up with grades, and then also valuations on how much money we're going to be able to pay them to be fair in that locker room. And so you almost have to take the emotion out of it. You don't want to have feelings into it, where if you have relationships, it may lean you into potentially making bad monetary valuations and trying to bring in the top players who are the right fits.
And that's so hard from a player relationship standpoint, because as you know, a general manager is really anybody on that Ohio State football staff and anybody in college football. The relationships we talk about all the time are just so important. But in these business decisions, you have to remove emotions from that, because it can really make a bad decision worse, or it can leave you from not making the best financial decision, as you really have not a hard salary cap, but they only have a certain amount of money to use every year.
And I think how hard that has to be for a guy like Pantoni, who's been so such an integral part of recruiting these guys. And he mentions the position coaches, right? And you have to get real feedback from the position coaches on these guys and what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, who's the guys you really want to keep, who they are. And I'm sure that's so hard for the position coaches, because we know the relationship they have with these players. I think how hard that is for an 18 and 19 year old kid to be like, well, you, why don't you think I'm that good?
Yeah.
Why you gave me this last year? Why won't you give me this year? And I think that's got to be as hard as it is for these grown-ups, how difficult it is. And you're 18, you're an adult, but these are still kids. They're young guys in life. It's how difficult that almost rejection has to be to them.
Especially for players that have been coming up their entire life being the best player at every single program they've played for. And everyone around them, their parents, their families, are also hyping them up, telling them that you're fantastic, you should be playing, you should be the one making the money. And so, it, like you said, it's a rejection. It's something they're not used to. Like when you come up the main in high school, you're talking about NIL players getting high school money. Everyone at Ohio State would be the ones that would be up for those. And so it gets really difficult.
We talked last week about Bo Jackson, where he was, Isaiah, to your point, in that position coming up through the high school ranks as one of the more sought after backs in the country. And then his first season at Ohio State, he breaks out week two against Grambling State and he has a 1,000-yard season. The price goes up. And for players like Bo, for players like Jeremiah, for players like Julian, every single year the price goes up. And here's Pantone talking about the changing financials and building a roster, knowing that.
It's actually changed a lot in a year. The market has only gone up, and even with the cap, it's the agents are still, you know, they're pushing the market as much as they possibly can. And so now having the, you know, with the house settlement, having a cap that we're all trying to, you know, follow the guidelines on, and then on the top of that, supplemented with the third party marketing, it's definitely more challenging in that regard. And I would say now I think the Indiana model in football has showed us that having older players, having an older team does mean something. And so philosophically, we are trying to determine, okay, how much financials are we going to put in the high school world now? How big is the high school class going to look now? And then is it better in the long run, or really in a one season model, to go in the portal and take older, more proven guys, rather than trying to pay a lot of money to get kids here out of high school, and they're probably not going to play a lot in year one, maybe year two, and then you're having a lot of dead money. And so those are all the conversations we're having right now and Indiana's kind of paved the way this year with how they did it. And I think a lot of teams are starting to look at that model now.
You know, the phrase dead money, where that comes up in National Football League. It's insane. The professionalization of this.
And
go ahead.
When he talks about this, I immediately think of Quincy Porter and Mylon Graham, right? Like Jeremiah Smith and Brandon Ennis are going to be starters on this team. Do you give these guys money for their potential, or do you think the potential was greater with a Chris Henry? And then to a lesser extent, I think of Aaron Scott and Bryce West on the back end. We know Devin Sanchez, and we know Jermaine Matthews are going to be two of your starting quarterbacks. You brought in an Earl Little to maybe be that nickel. Only one of Bryce West and Aaron Scott could possibly start if either of them would start. How do you give them the money when you just don't know, especially when you already have established starters? It's such a different way of thinking for Ohio State, because it's always been at Ohio State, you recruit the best, you bring them in, you have them all here. And it's I don't know if it's as big of a change for Ohio State and Ryan Day and Mark Pantone as it is for us, the fans, thinking, why are all these guys leaving? We're supposed to have all these guys. We're supposed to have all the depth. It's just not going to be that way anymore.
Yeah, the way things are is not going to be the way things go. And this time next year, it probably won't be as different of a way to build a roster as we've seen in the last two seasons, just how wildly different it is to build a national championship contender. But things are absolutely going to change. And Mark Pantone talks about how Ohio State's going to build the roster moving forward.
I think at the end of the day, like you said, culture is number one. That's how teams win, is the culture in that locker room. So we do want to have a strong foundation with the high school kids and the development of them as your core foundation. And then use the portal as a way to supplement and fill holes, ideally just almost as starting levels. And we're not trying to go in the portal to fill depth spots, because like you said, you're going to have to overpay in the portal regardless. So we'd rather have the young high school guys ready you know, as the backup or the threes, you know, if there were injuries or something were to happen, to be ready to play. And that's, you know, that's why we recruited them to begin with, is because we believed in their talents and they're a great fit in that locker room. So it's a little combination of both as best as we can do it. I think the hard part we felt this year was the guys who just finished year one and going into year two, who may not have played a lot, but the market has dictated maybe some potential increases they thought they deserved, and, you know, without a lot of production behind it. And that's where we had to make some really tough decisions.
He speaks a lot to those guys who didn't see the field much and decided that they were going to go find greener pastures. And you wish the best for those guys. You wish really the best for everybody in this situation, because it's all absolute chaos. You know, and it's so reactionary, where I wonder how many teams you see go right back for the Miami model, right back for the Indiana model, to use a better analogy, because Indiana won the national championship, or try to stick with what Ohio State's doing. And really, Ohio State, one of only a few programs that can do it the way the Buckeyes have done it, where you get the top recruits out of high school and then you make proper portal acquisitions and you're competing for national championships every single season.
And I've said this before, I don't know if the way Ohio State has done things isn't the right way. I feel like the total overhaul of your roster every year is not good for your teams in the long run. We've seen Colorado do it. There hasn't been a ton of success. We've seen other teams do it with not a ton of success. Now, where you have seen the success is where a new coach has come in and he's brought his guys from his previous place with him. So there's already a culture that they understand. They're already used to his way of things. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what Indiana looks like now that the James Madison era of Kurt Cignetti has kind of worn off. And I think they're going to be okay, because the guys that they brought in have been able to learn and adapt to Kurt Cignetti, and I think they're going to be fine. They've had those James Madison players there, as you have said before, Reese, teaching them how to dog. Mm-hmm. They've been there to help them along the way. But I do wonder if Indiana takes a slight step back this year with those guys being gone.
How are you not ready for the biggest game on the planet? That's next. It's Bishop and Friends on The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have three more seconds. Bye-bye.
Hollywood Casino.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And has hosted shows with radio royalty, Spielman, Tor, T-Bone, just to name a few. So listen to his new show with Timmy Hall. If man can pull this one off, he's a miracle worker. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for us today and chilly. Temperatures will be getting into the low 20s and our feels like could be into the negatives. As we go into tonight, expect skies to be mostly cloudy with temperatures in the teens. Friday, snow develops as we go into the morning, becoming a little bit heavier as we go toward the lunch hour. We could see 1 to 2 inches possible. Daytime highs will be in the mid to upper 30s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan. Connect with the show on X at 971BFS. Jump in our YouTube chat or just send a raven. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Reeser and Baker with you on a Thursday edition of the program. Final Thursday before the last game of the NFL season, Super Bowl 60, Sunday at 6:30. We'll have it for you on The Fan with coverage after Ohio State and Michigan men's basketball. John Breach of CBS Sports is going to join us here in about 10 minutes live from San Francisco. And it does look like they have the Super Bowl on the calendar every year, right? Like next year, you're going to know when the Super Bowl is. This year, you knew when the Super Bowl was this time last year. And so I looked to Fanatics, who is the official licensed retailer for the NFL, and wonder, how did you not have enough Patriots or Seahawks jerseys? I guess that's been one of the main problems over the past couple of weeks with those two fan bases trying to buy uniforms for their playoff run in the Super Bowl, well, Fanatics was out, and the things Fanatics was selling were trash. It does feel over the last couple of years, the more and more you see Fanatics mentioned on social media or you see them anywhere, they're just kind of garbage in how the quality of what they provide you is. This from Fanatics yesterday, NFL fans, we've seen your jersey feedback and we take it very seriously. We've had Patriots and Seahawks fans down with product availability and we own that and we are sorry. This Super Bowl matchup has created unprecedented challenges for us because of the massive surge in demand we saw from Patriots and Seahawks fans. Both teams went from missing the playoffs last season to being in the Super Bowl, an incredibly rare occurrence that led to two fan bases buying nearly 400% more jerseys since Thanksgiving of last year. Sorry, we didn't know. Oops. Here's your comically overpriced item. It just might not be delivered on time.
So I have a couple of things in here. If you're a true Seahawks or Patriots fan, don't you have their jerseys before you end up at the Super Bowl and before you have this great run?
I guess, but if you want the Super Bowl patch, right, on the jersey of your favorite player from this, like you want a Darnold Super Bowl jersey.
And you probably don't have a Darnold jersey. Like maybe you got like a Russ one.
Not have a Darnold
you didn't
jersey.
Like go into the season and be like, you know what, I'm going to preemptively buy
or
the Sam
Drake
Darnold.
May Icy White Super Bowl jersey. And you want that for the big game?
That's fair. But I mean, you don't need your jersey with the Super Bowl patch for the Super Bowl, right? Like if you get a jersey with a Super Bowl patch, isn't that for the future? I don't know.
My team's never been in the Super Bowl. They will never go to the Super Bowl, so I don't know what that feels like.
Ain't that the truth? It is. I do, and I get like, well, we don't want to mass produce all these things and then we don't sell them. But isn't this what we used to do? Like both teams have Super Bowl winning championship shirts already. And the one team that doesn't win, they're going to ship those overseas somewhere. And people that are less fortunate are going to have brand new t-shirts, whether they're correct or wrong. So I don't understand what you're doing here, Fanatics. Let's overproduce. And
I don't even know if it's overproduced. Just have enough ready. It did not get caught something like not get caught with your pants down on the Super Bowl, the week of the Super Bowl, because there are images of people going around the NFL shops in the Bay Area where Super Bowl 60 is going to be and just looking at patches not properly on some of the jerseys and just the poor quality that Fanatics has really been known for over the last couple of years. It seems as they've gobbled up a lot more licensing deals with a lot more leagues.
One of the things you get with monopoly type, you know, when we're having these companies buying all these other companies, what's the point of putting out a quality product when
you're the only product?
Yeah. Phil Castellini. I thought it was also interesting. They were going around trying to find and get all the counterfeit gear that's being shopped around the San Francisco and the Bay Area right now. Well, listen, if Fanatics can't give you enough, come on, give me the counterfeit
stuff. The guy in the van probably has like a million jerseys. He has unlimited stock.
The quality there might be even better. To Fanatics' point about, well, we didn't see either of these teams competing in the Super Bowl this year. I don't think a lot of people did either. I don't know if in year one with Mike Vrabel or year one with Sam Darnold, people thought maybe this would be the only year with Sam Darnold as the actual Seahawks starter. I know, obviously, contract dictates differently, but nobody thinking that this was going to be the matchup at the beginning of the season, but as things went on and you saw those two teams be as dominant as they were, especially to the New England Patriots, like this is what you kind of feared with Mike Vrabel, especially as a Browns fan, knowing he was in your building and likely he didn't want anything to do with the circus that was the Cleveland Browns. But Mike Vrabel now coaching in his first year in the Super Bowl, they're not the favorites, but would anybody be surprised to watch New England win on Sunday?
Well, I mean, they're the underdogs, but I don't know if you would be surprised. I think the one thing you do think is this is going to be a close football
Heck of a game.
But yeah, Reese, I know going back to the preseason and our preseason predictions, none of us on this show had either of these teams in the playoffs, I don't believe. Maybe you or Bo had Seattle in there. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
It's the NFC West.
I'd have to go look. But I had three NFC West teams, and I can tell you Seattle was the one I didn't have making it.
Yeah.
And a bad job out of me with the Arizona Cardinals. But just a tremendous coaching job by both of these head coaches. I don't know with Mike McDonald and Mike Vrabel and Liam Cohen and Ben Johnson. I don't know how you vote on Coach of the Year this year, because all of them are just tremendous jobs.
I think with, you know, certainly mine would go to Mike McDonald because of how deep the NFC West was and how I expected them to be third in that. Certainly you'd thought the AFC East is a little bit more winnable for the Patriots. I think it goes a lot back to Drake May and how he's performed in just his second season. He was dealing with a injury to his throwing shoulder that he suffered in the AFC Championship game, but he was a full participant yesterday at practice. And it feels like he'll be fine for Sunday's game. Sam Darnold on the other side said his oblique was fine. He was limited on Wednesday. Again, I don't know how much you're going to be putting into a Wednesday practice report, but back to Drake May for the New England Patriots. Vrabel talking about his quarterback.
I mean, there'd never be another Tom Brady. I'm not into comparisons. I'm excited. I've said this. There's a large part of why I'm here is because of Drake May being the quarterback here and me wanting to coach him and be a part of this organization. So I'm excited for his growth. I'm excited for what he's done, and I'm excited for what he's going to do.
I wouldn't hate watching the Patriots win because it would see Mike Vrabel hoisting the Lombardi. It would include Travion Henderson being a Super Bowl champion in his rookie season. I also wouldn't hate Seattle winning it because I would like to see Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's probably the NFL Offensive Player of the Year, hoist the Lombardi. And he's been electric, and he'll need to be great again if they're going to beat the New England Patriots. And so back to Vrabel and the coaching journey that he's taken, which has included stops in Ohio at Ohio State and in Berea for the Cleveland Browns, about where he is now, the precipice of immortality.
From all my different stops, and there's a lot of stops, and everybody has a journey to this league, and my journey has included a lot of different places. And again, I've always said this, that thankful for to get my start in the NFL with the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, with Bill Cowher, the Rudy family, to be able to come to New England to be a player here with Bill and Mr. Kraft, and even the time I spent in Kansas City, then the opportunities to coach at Ohio State. So you try to learn and try to pay attention and focus and learn each stop along the way. But then again, you have to make it your own style. So there's things each and every week that I'll draw on. They'll draw on things that we did in Tennessee that we liked or that I thought maybe resonated with the players. So constantly trying to draw on things to help us.
And that's what you want, is a coach. And I don't know, he mentioned all the stops there. Ohio State, Pittsburgh Steelers, the New England Patriots, the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know how many failures Mike Vrabel has had in his life. Even in Tennessee, you were like, what the heck are you firing this guy for?
Yeah, it wasn't
like,
him.
Why would you do this to him? So I don't know how much failure Mike Vrabel has had in his life, but that's what you want in a head coach, is a guy that has all kinds of different experience, and a lot of his experience has been at winning organizations, and a guy that can pluck from things he learned here from this guy and things that he saw over here at this place and when he came up here, and even if it's what not to do, which he probably saw a lot of that in Cleveland
last year,
and things that he doesn't want when he comes back and gets a head coaching job again. Just, man, I don't know if you could find a guy that's been around more successful programs than Mike Vrabel, and it seems he's taken a little bit from each one.
So the NFL is going to do their honors banquet tonight in San Francisco, where you get the MVP, offensive, defensive, rookie, players of the year, and then coach of the year, which Mike Vrabel is absolutely up for. We're going to go out to the Bay coming up in 2 minutes, talk with John Breach of CBS Sports. That's next. It's Bishop and Friends on the...
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the fan.
Our top men are working on everything except this show.
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
And we can say Super Bowl because we've got it on the Fan Sunday at 6:30. Coverage after Ohio State and Michigan men's basketball. Seahawks, Patriots, Seattle, a 4.5-point favorite as of reading the favorite this morning. We go out to one of our favorites who is in the Bay Area, John Breach of CBS Sports joining us, courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. John, thanks so much for giving us the time this morning. Before we get into the big game on Sunday, who, in your opinion, of the 10 teams that experienced a coaching change, who won the NFL's coaching carousel cycle?
Yeah, like the Giants made a good hire, like John Harbaugh. I think that was probably the one where you say it felt like the safest hire. So I would put them up there because I do feel like they have a solid team and they are someone who could be a coach away from competing for a playoff spot. I didn't hate the Steelers hire as much as a lot of people did. I feel like that one got a lot of negative flack for bringing in Mike McCarthy, but I feel like he has a solid track record. You saw what he did in Dallas, winning 12 games in three straight seasons. I like the Ravens hire. I think Jesse Minter could be good. I mean, really, the only mind-boggling one to me was the one in Cleveland with the Browns and Todd Bach, and it just, what is this franchise doing? You never know. It just seems like no one wanted the job. So can I just say the loser was the Browns and everyone else was kind of 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D.
Yeah, John, that perks up a lot of ears, especially here. Or perks up a lot of ears, I should say, here. What did you think was more confusing, their process or who they ended up with?
Both. Well, I mean, the process seems confusing every time they're hiring a coach or literally doing anything. It's almost it's head scratching every time. You just wonder how the Browns keep doing Browns things. And I guess if you're the Browns, bringing in someone who knows the game well, like Todd Monken, and you just kind of need someone who can turn the team around. I don't think anybody's expecting him to go in there and win a Super Bowl in 2026. It's, can he get them to 6 or 7 wins? Then maybe get them to 9 or 10 wins. So I do think the one advantage of taking the Cleveland job is that there's just not a lot of pressure on you because you don't have to make the playoffs in year one. Todd Monken's not going to get fired if he goes 5-12 or 6-11. So I would say that is the one advantage, but it is, but everything the Browns do seems to be a little bit bizarre.
John, Super Bowl 60 this Sunday night out in Santa Clara. We've got the Seahawks and the Patriots, two teams that I'm not sure at the beginning of the season anybody would have picked this matchup for the Super Bowl. But looking back on the process of these two teams and the seasons that they've had, should we have maybe seen this coming?
I would say no one should have seen this coming. But I do think if you were sitting somewhere on September 1st and you kind of looked at what was happening, that the Patriots, I think a lot of people talked about as a dark horse playoff team, just to get to the playoffs, certainly not get to the Super Bowl. They spent a lot of money on free agency. They bring in Mike Vrabel, Drake May. You hope he can take that second year leap, and all those things happen. Drake May looked great. The free agency, the big additions, Milton Williams, guys like that, they paid off. And Vrabel showed why he is one of the best coaches in the NFL. And then I feel like when you look back on it, obviously hindsight's 2020, but it just felt like the Seahawks were really slept on. This is a team that went 10-7 last year, so it shouldn't have been a surprise that they were going to be good. I think that 9 or 10 wins seemed like their floor this season. And I understand that they're in a tough division with the 49ers and the Rams, and I think that's kind of why they got overlooked a little bit. But they also went out and spent money in free agency. They hit some home runs in the draft with guys like Nick Emmanuel. And so they just smart organizations that built their team intelligently, filled their needs in free agency, smart draft picks. And here we are with two Super Bowl teams that get to that are always seem to be good, successful franchises.
Seattle, a 4.5-point favorite in this one. And Sam Darnold, I think, was one name that nobody had doing this with the Seattle Seahawks going to the Super Bowl, and after, especially with the journey that he's had. And for both of these teams, they've got guys that have been on really incredible journeys to land in Santa Clara for Sunday's game, but questionable with an oblique injury. What do you see, or what do you think you're going to see from Sam Darnold Sunday?
I think Sam Darnold is going to play great. I think that the worry all season was, is he going to choke in a big game? Because that's what we saw last year when he was in Minnesota. We saw it in that Week 18 game against Vikings-Lions. We saw it against the Rams in that Vikings-Rams playoff game. And then you fast forward to this year, and he still was never great, even in the showdowns. I know they beat the Rams back in week 16, the regular season, but Darnold threw two interceptions. So it just felt like, man, if this team's going to lose in the playoffs, it's going to be because Darnold just kind of chokes it away with a couple interceptions. And that hasn't happened. I think the NFC title game was probably the best game of his career. He just made smart decisions, didn't really ever throw any balls that could have been intercepted. So it was just him playing at the top of his game. And if he plays like that again in the Super Bowl, I feel like the Seahawks can probably roll to a win. And it just seems like he's playing with a lot more confidence. And so for that, so, you know, Mike Vrabel's a great defensive coach, and I'm sure he'll try and come up with a game plan to confuse Darnold. But right now, it just seems like Darnold's playing with so much confidence. I think he's going to have a big game.
We obviously know Jaxon Smith-Njigba well and have followed his journey here from Ohio State into the league with Seattle. He has just taken his game to another level this year, and he needed to without DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett there for Seattle. Did you see this explosion from JSN coming in the route running in the NFC Championship game especially? He had the Rams defenders on skates.
Well, I think the interesting thing about JSN is that the Seahawks clearly loved him, because when they drafted him, you know, you mentioned Lockett and DK Metcalf, they were both on the roster. So it was one of those situations where we already have two good receivers, but we love this guy so much, we're going to use our first round pick on him. And then he kind of was stuck behind those two guys his rookie year. But then he blew up in 2024, and I think that's when the Seahawks said, all right, we can get rid of DK Metcalf because this guy is our number one guy. He has what it takes to be a number one wide receiver in the NFL. And, I mean, it's a little bit of a gamble because you don't know what's going to happen when you get rid of Metcalf. And then for JSN to go out in week one, he went for like 125 yards against the 49ers, and it was just like, all right, well, this guy is not just the number one receiver. He might be one of the top number one receivers in the NFL. And for him to do that with Sam Darnold, you know, no offense to Darnold, but he's not a top five quarterback in the NFL. And for Smith-Njigba to be able to put up these kinds of numbers in that offense is just impressive. And like you said, it's all about the route running. He finds a way to get open no matter what opposing defenses do. We saw him go over 150 against the Rams in the NFC title game, and that was a guy the Rams were focused on stopping, and he still caught 10 passes. So, yeah, his talent is just unbelievable.
Follow him on Twitter at John Breach. He covers the NFL for CBS Sports and got a lot of fun from the festivities in Santa Clara this week. And even over the next couple of days, you have NFL honors coming up tonight. But John, for the Patriots and quarterback Drake May, how does plucky New England pull the upset Sunday?
Well, I think it's going to come down to defense. I think they need to force a couple turnovers, get Sam Darnold seeing ghosts again. That's where he originally saw it, was against the Patriots. So you just need a great defensive game plan for Mike Vrabel. You need to put pressure on Darnold, get some sacks, and just force him into bad throws. And I do think that Drake May is going to need some help on offense. We know about he's got the banged up shoulder. And even if he says it feels good, I don't think you really know until he's on the field. So the Patriots need to be able to run the ball because Drake May has gotten beaten up in the postseason. He's been sacked at least five times in every playoff game. I think he's taken the second most sacks of any quarterback in a single postseason in NFL history. So when your quarterback is getting beaten up like that, it's hard to win games. So, you know, if this is another game where Drake May takes five sacks, I don't think the Patriots are going to win. So I think they've got to get the run game going, take some pressure off Drake May, and their defense is going to have to come up with some big plays and just force Sam Darnold into making mistakes.
John, last one here for you from me. How disappointing is it to you that we are not getting a 1986 uniform matchup here with the Patriots and Seahawks both wearing their throwback uniforms?
It's disappointing. That's a 10 out of 10 on the disappointment scale.
It's the worst.
Look, it's one of those things where the NFL, they have strict uniform rules for the playoffs. I don't know if everyone knows that you have to kind of wear your standard uniform. You're not allowed to wear alternates or throwbacks. And so they just need to have a little exclusion clause written in that rule that says, if you get what could possibly be the best uniform matchup of all time, you embrace it. You go with it. You let the Seahawks wear their great blue throwbacks and let the Patriots. Yeah, this could have been an all-timer with the Patriots in their Patriot uniforms, but the NFL blew it. So we'll just have to settle with what we got, but definitely a disappointment that we're not getting the throwbacks.
Gosh, it would have looked so good.
Missed opportunity there, but certainly a good one on the field with both teams Sunday at 6:30. John Breach of CBS Sports, thanks so much for the time this morning, bud. Enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the game and safe travels after Super Bowl 60.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And he comes to us courtesy the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. We'll do three things on a Thursday. Coming up next, Bishop and Friends.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Football Impact Report is brought to you locally by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse. On the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Ohio State Football Impact Report.
As Ohio State goes about trying to recruit a new football class, whether it's through high school players or with the transfers that come through the portal, there's a lot to go into play. Certainly, watching players, how they have performed on the field, is a big part of it. But establishing relationships is something we hear coaches talk an awful lot about when it comes to trying to make a decision on who they want to add. Mark Pantone, Ohio State's general manager, talks about the importance of establishing those relationships.
I mean, relationships are still very important, not only with the coaches, but also future teammates as well. If guys feel comfortable, rather than if they're coming far from home and not knowing anybody, then it makes it a little bit more difficult. But if they build these relationships by going to different camps, you know, meeting guys here when they come for games, they feel a lot more comfortable. You know, they have roommates picked out, and it makes the transition for them a lot easier.
This report is brought to you by Safe Light Auto Glass. This is Paul Keels, and you're listening to the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield. Hi, this is Paul Keels. This Buckeye season, don't let a broken windshield ruin your game plan. Safe Light Auto Glass makes it easy to get your windshield fixed with their mobile glass shops all over Central Ohio. They can come to you anywhere, giving Buckeye fans more time for game time. OH? Man, I love that. Schedule at SafeLight.com. Safe Light Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Buckeye fans, choose chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged for a smoother finish. It's got that crisp, refreshing taste that makes those moments when you choose to rise above the noise and choose chill even better. Coors Light is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics, so crack one open and take a sip. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Beer.
For over 37 years, Buckeye Nation has known Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse for serving the best steaks in the city. Our thick-cut, aged steaks are a staple in Columbus, with three locations in Upper Arlington, Dublin, and downtown. And just like the Buckeyes, we strive for excellence and an experience like no other. Hyde Park is proud to introduce the newly added wine room at our downtown Columbus location, where a new elegance in dining surrounds you, creating the ideal setting for any occasion or the perfect night out. Hyde Park is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Hello. I'm Ross Bjork, Senior Vice President and Eugene Smith Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director at The Ohio State University. In partnership with AEP, Donato's, Kroger, The Ohio State University, Wexner Medical Center, Huntington, and 10TV, Ohio State Athletics strives to inspire the community to make a positive impact on children and families in our great state through the Buckeyes Care Initiative. Show and share your support in the community by using the hashtag Buckeyes Care.
For heating, cooling, and plumbing, I trust Atlas Butler. They always text me their location, arrival time, and even the technician's photo and zodiac sign. Just kidding. Looks like a Pisces.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
10 feet tall and bulletproof isn't just a saying, it's a way of life. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yes, you are. Reese Baker, Isaiah, with you for a couple more minutes. Again, Bo Bishop trending in the right direction to make an appearance and to host tomorrow's program. But as we all are, it's still TBD. We'll let you know throughout the afternoon and hopefully have some a good update on that. The Daily Fan poll asks, how much of the 2026 Winter Olympics will you be watching over the next few weeks? Your options is little to none, as much as possible, a decent amount. 44% say a decent amount, 35% say little to none, 20% say as much as possible.
I will say I'll be tuned into the hockey, especially when Team USA is out there, and maybe a little bit when Latvia. I think that's cool that Zach and Elvis will play each other in the opener, but I don't know how much I'll be tuned in.
I have Peacock, so
same. I'm
trying to remember who I get Peacock from, but I will have it on either my computer or my phone and just scroll and find like something. Like, I don't know how much I'll watch live other than Team USA hockey, but other stuff, it's just, there's something to watch. It's always cool to kind of just pop into those the random sporting events like mixed doubles curling, which is going on now. And I think Team USA is up in some of those matches.
If you're going to do it, you might as well win.
I don't know when the gold medal or the medal rounds happen for that, but that's the first of your official Olympic action. The opening ceremonies I'll probably be tuned into because it's 2 o'clock on a Friday, and what the heck? I want to see Andre Bocelli. Who is he in Columbus
tonight?
He'll
be here Saturday.
Okay, so he's going to do the opening ceremonies tomorrow in Milan, then fly probably on the private jet, and then perform at the Schottenstein Center.
Correct.
Saturday. So, be cool chant. Mariah Carey was who I was trying to think. That's also going to be doing open ceremonies tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
One, two, one, two,
three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
It's the dangers of constantly looking and constantly scrolling while you're trying to do a radio show, which the most important thing is being able to talk properly. Because as I try to talk you through the Daily Fan Poll and the opening festivities in the Milan Cortina Olympics, I see that the Sherwin-Williams building in downtown Cleveland had a banner of the Cleveland Cavaliers core four: Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, Donovan Mitchell. That is coming down as we speak. And I wonder, would they just put a giant picture of Harden up on the building?
It's probably what James Harden would like.
In Harden, we hope. Right? Hope's a bad strategy, but as of right now, 3 o'clock for the deadline, that's what the Cavs have.
I'm going to make my first thing kind of piggybacking off of the Daily Fan Poll. I got no Jackets hockey for the next 3 weeks. No Jackets hockey to watch until February 26th. No home game until February 28th. And like I said, I'll be tuned into the hockey, not all of it, at the Winter Olympics. I don't know how much of the Winter Olympics I'm going to watch. I don't know if I really want to watch Ohio State basketball. Sounds like maybe more Sopranos and maybe Friday Night Lights for me in the next 3 weeks.
You're doing the Sopranos for the first time?
First time.
Very jealous.
Four episodes in.
Very jealous.
I'll piggyback off of you, piggybacking.
Ooh.
I like that's a lot of piggybacking.
Double backing. A lot of piggybacking. Buckeyes have to win tonight. It's a no-brainer. They have to win tonight. If they don't, they can go ahead and count themselves out of March Madness. So if you're a Buckeyes fan hoping for them to make it, you should tune in tonight. And if they fail to win, you should be extremely disappointed. And Jake Diebler is going to be feeling really hot. Maryland's 1-9 in the Big Ten. No excuse not to get it done tonight.
Second thing for me, so the Minnesota Timberwolves have removed themselves from the Giannis Antetokounmpo sweepstakes. So you're telling me there's a chance. Not a great one. But if you're going to make the Harden move, I hope, as a Cavaliers fan, something else comes with it.
Hope is not a strategy, Reese.
Oh, it sucks.
God, that'd be...
I guess I'd have been okay with Porzingis. He just got dealt to the Warriors this morning. Maybe as a guy you can bring off the bench, because you might need a lanky big that can shoot, but he's as, if not more, injury prone than Garland.
Could you imagine how insufferable Tyus Powell would be if the Cleveland Cavaliers got his favorite player?
So can his insufferability
Giannis
be cranked up
Antetokounmpo
anymore?
I don't know.
We'd find out.
I have faith in Tyus. That's for sure. Speaking of insufferable, Jacob Reimer just said more college basketball for you. No, probably not.
Yeah, no thanks.
Although I will watch that Miami OU game.
Next Friday.
Second thing for me, first of the month just happened, right? So it's time to pay all your bills. I do a lot of my bills online, like I think most of you do. I am so sick of two-step authentication and texting or emailing codes or making me do some kind of weird encryption. Like, I've already given you my password, and I'm trying to give you money. I am trying to pay my bills. Oh, I desperately just want to give you my money and make it as quick and painless as possible. Quit making it hard for me to pay my bills. And then I've got to change my password for some reason because I've been with you for 10 years and I've never been hacked. But yet I need to change my password. And then I can't use this symbol or I can't use this number here or this letter there. Or you put a period where you shouldn't. Stop making it hard for me to pay my bills.
I agree.
Thank you, Isaiah.
I do agree. My next one, college football, you guys start taking some notes. The one thing the NBA and NFL both have figured out is when to put the trade deadline and how they do free agency. The transfer portal for college football is absolutely at the most abysmal time. I mean, you see right now in the NBA, no one has cared about the whole first half of the season. The deadline comes up right as the Super Bowl has its off week, and there's no NHL really going on for a little bit. The deadline's today, and that ramps up for the second half of the year. For the NBA fans that forgot they were fans, now they're tuning back in.
Baker, I'm going to make this my final thing, because you're getting a lot of love in the YouTube chat with it. But Coach Beard has the best take of them all. It says, iOS automatically pulls the codes from your texts and emails and populates the form for you, Baker. It's your fault for being an Android user. Every time we have a group chat, I gotta see green on my phone. I'm not trying to do that.
Google does that too, but they're all stupid. I don't like them.
There's a phrase I can't use on
I'm not gonna remember them.
Yeah, there's a phrase I can't use on the air for how companies, all companies that have apps have made their app experience worse. Because to quote Phil Castellini, where are you gonna go?
Second thing for me, we mentioned yesterday the layoffs at the Washington Post as they are getting rid of their sports department. Great job out of Washington Capitals head coach Spencer Carberry this morning, who started his press conference by acknowledging Bailey Johnson. And if you don't know who Bailey is, she used to cover the Columbus Blue Jackets in the Crew, I believe, for the Columbus Dispatch. She moved to Washington to cover the Caps to the Washington Post, saying that how bummed he was that Bailey wasn't there today, and he was thinking about her and said that her next stop, wherever it is, he knows she'll do a fantastic job. Good job out of you, Spencer Carberry.
Coming up next on Rothman and Ice, we got the forever entertaining Dan Dockage from the Super Bowl. Then Matt Finkus is the former Mike Vrabel teammate. He's going to be in studio at 12:30.
You'll have that to look forward to, which is always nice. We'll be back tomorrow at 9 a.m., 9 to noon, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here at The Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
Hey, what's up?
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FIRST.